The Quality News Network. Congressional Democrats have sent President Bush the Iraq War funding bill, which contains a timetable for a U.S. troop withdrawal. On the four-year anniversary of President Bush's mission accomplished statement aboard an aircraft carrier, the president visited MacDill Air Force Base in Florida today to meet with U.S. Central Command. Later today, he plans to make a statement about his expected veto of the Iraq War funding bill. There are conflicting reports about whether the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq has been killed. Some say he was killed by Sunni tribesmen. However, an al-Qaeda umbrella group states on its website that he is still alive. The Iraqi government said today more than 1,500 civilians were killed throughout the country in April. That's a nearly 20% drop from March. April was one of the deadliest months so far this year for U.S. forces, though. At least 104 American troops were killed during the month, making it the sixth deadliest month since the war began 4 years ago. In cities across the U.S. today, immigrants are holding rallies to demand a path to citizenship for the estimated 12 million illegal immigrants currently in America. Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez has taken over the last of the privately run oil fields in his country. The companies forced to give up control include BP, ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, and Chevron. Chavez is also nationalizing Venezuela's electricity and telecommunications companies. Yesterday, he symbolically announced that he is pulling Venezuela out of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. In Havana, thousands of workers celebrated May Day as they marched through Cuba's Revolution Plaza. However, ailing leader Fidel Castro was not seen in public. The 80-year-old underwent intestinal surgery and stepped down from power temporarily 9 months ago. The State Department list of countries that are sponsors of terror has Iran as the leader. There was a 25% increase in terrorist attacks last year. Much of that activity occurred in Iraq. Turkey's constitutional court has blocked an Islamic candidate from running for president of the country. The court upheld the appeal by the main secular political party. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert is resisting the increased calls for his resignation a day after the release of a report which was highly critical of the way he handled the war against Hezbollah last summer. According to instant polls, a large majority of Israelis favor his immediate resignation. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now. In 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission. Mary Knoll.
The American Lung Association's list of most polluted cities in the U.S. finds Los Angeles as the leader. Pittsburgh was the second most polluted city, followed by Bakersfield, California. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke warned against economic isolationism. He said it would be a serious mistake that could jeopardize the benefits of free trade. Rupert Murdoch's News Corp has made a $5 billion offer to buy Dow Jones & Company, which owns the Wall Street Journal. The unsolicited bid would be either in cash or a cash and News Corp stock combination. Ford reports its auto sales in April fell nearly 13% compared to a year ago. Toyota says its April sales were down more than 4% in the U.S., while Daimler Chrysler had a little over a 1% increase in car sales for the month. Procter & Gamble says its third-quarter earnings were up 14%. The world's largest consumer products company reported higher sales of razors and other health products. The average price nationwide for a gallon of unleaded gasoline is $2.97. West Coast drivers are encountering the highest prices in the country, with San Francisco leading the way. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.40 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones had another record high close, up 73 points at 13,136. The Nasdaq was up 6. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Day. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Beautiful, albeit warm, afternoon here at the remote, undisclosed location in the hills and hollers of West Virginia at the Head On Radio Network studios, broadcasting live from the Head On sauna. A little toasty back here. Well, you know, you have these things. But I'm excited about this evening. We are, what, 3.5 minutes and counting from a major address. God, it reminds you of Darren McGavin in A Christmas Story. It's a major award! See, it's from Italy. It says Fragile. A major address by I can't even stand to call him the president. It hangs the dim sun, the dear leader, celebrating his anniversary of mission accomplished today by taking a big old pee on the troops, right? Yeah. Why won't you support the troops, George? Why do you hate the troops, George? Why do you hate America, Mr. Bush? Why won't you give them the money they need, Mr. Bush? Right? You're the one that said they need the money. Give them the money. Show me the money, George. Show me the money. Say it with me. Show me the money. Say it, Agnes. Say it, Agnes. Say it with me. Show me the money. No, that Miss Mike. This one.
He's skippy tonight, guys.
So we're going to go and we're going to do the audio. We'll run the audio here in 2 minutes, because, you know, George is always on time. 2 minutes from now, we'll run the audio. Agnes is working on it even as we speak. You know, she's got the one gerbil running on the one wheel, and the other gerbil's running on the other wheel, and we'll have it all. We'll have the little internet streamy all hooked up here in a couple of minutes. And then after that, in the second hour, I didn't coordinate this with the White House. It couldn't have worked out better, though, because the second hour, about 5 minutes after 7 o'clock Eastern time, we'll be speaking to the only man with the courage to stand up and speak the truth. That being Congressman Dennis Kucinich, the only man thus far to stand up and demand that the Constitution be honored, that the Constitution be followed, and that they shall be removed from office. You know, that's what it says in the Constitution. Shall be, not maybe, shall be. Right? Yeah. So, that's what's on tap. Sorry, we're doing some technical arranging here. All right, we're just getting, you know, this is exciting. This is radio on the fly. Because after all, you wouldn't want to miss a major announcement like this now, would you? Of course not. Five seconds. 3, 2, 1. Nope, not yet. Okay, we're... I guess they'll have it in a second. But at any rate, this is the anniversary of Mission Accomplished. That's right. A scant 4 years ago. Gosh, has it been 4 years? Has it been 4 years of abject misery, hell, depression, and damnation for America's military families? Has it been just 4 years? That's right. Agnes and I celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary on the day that George W. Bush made an entire United States aircraft carrier do a U-turn in San Diego Bay so we couldn't see San Diego, so he could fly out in a jet and say, "Major combat operations in Iraq have ended." Yeah, there's just this weird connection between me and George because, as it turned out, what was it, a couple of years ago, he delivered his State of the Union address on my birthday and just screwed that up, too. Of course, that's probably nothing but rank paranoia on my part. Okie dokie. Okay, it's probably okay. Close that. All right, we're going to make this work. Agnes, play me some bumper music for a minute, would you? Thank you.
Demoralize the Iraqi people, would encourage killers across the broader Middle East, and send a signal that America will not keep its commitments. Setting a deadline for withdrawal is setting a date for failure.
No, that already happened,
George.
That would
be irresponsible.
No, irresponsible.
Second, the bill would impose impossible conditions on our commanders in combat.
Really?
After forcing most of our troops to withdraw, the bill would dictate the terms on which the remaining commanders and troops could engage the enemy. That means Americans' commanders in the middle of a combat zone would have to take fighting direction from politicians 6,000 miles away in Washington, D.C.
And that hasn't been happening?
This is a prescription for chaos and confusion, and we must not impose it on our troops. Third, the bill is loaded with billions of dollars in non-emergency spending.
Oh, that's
that
never happened before.
Has nothing to do with fighting the war on terror.
No.
Congress should debate these spending measures on their own merits and not as a part of an emergency funding bill for our troops.
You can tell he's upset.
The Democratic leaders know that many in Congress disagree with their approach and that there are not enough votes to override the veto.
Yeah, that's why it was called. That's why it passed by what's called the majority, George, you dummy.
This bill is an opportunity to make a political statement about their opposition to the war.
Now, he's upset. He's bobbing around like impeaching
Elmo.
They sent
their message, and now it is time to put politics behind us and support our troops with the funds they need. Our troops are carrying out a new strategy with a new commander, General David Petraeus. The goal of this new strategy is to help the Iraqis secure their capital so they can make progress toward reconciliation and build a free nation that respects the rights of its people.
And why they haven't been able to do that since, I mean, I don't know.
And fights extremists and radicals and killers alongside the United States in this war on terror. In January, General Petraeus was confirmed by a unanimous vote in the United States Senate. In February, we began sending the first of the reinforcements he requested. Not all these reinforcements have arrived in Baghdad. And as General Petraeus has said, it will be the end of the summer before we can assess the impact of this operation. Congress ought to give General Petraeus's plan a chance to work. In the months since our military has been implementing this plan, we've begun to see some important results. For example, Iraqi and coalition forces have closed down an al-Qaeda car bomb network. They've captured a Shia militia leader implicated in the kidnapping and killing of American soldiers.
Kidnapping and killing?
They've broken up a death squad that had terrorized hundreds of residents in a Baghdad neighborhood. Last week, General Petraeus was in Washington to brief me, and he briefed members of Congress on how the operation is unfolding. He noted that one of the most important indicators of progress is the level of sectarian violence in Baghdad. And he reported that since January, the number of sectarian murders has dropped substantially. Even as sectarian attacks have declined, we continue to see spectacular suicide attacks that have caused great suffering.
Spectacular, I tell you.
These attacks are largely the work of Al-Qaeda, the enemy that everyone agrees we should be fighting. The objective of these Al-Qaeda attacks is to subvert our efforts by reigniting the sectarian violence in Baghdad and breaking support for the war here at home.
It's already broken.
Washington last week, General Petraeus explained it this way. Iraq is, in fact, the central front of all Al-Qaeda's global campaign. Al-Qaeda's role makes it, the conflict in Iraq far more complex than a simple fight between Iraqis. It's true that not everyone taking innocent life in Iraq wants to attack America here at home. But many do. Many also belong to the same terrorist network that attacked us on September the 11th, 2001, and wants to attack us here at home again. We saw the death and destruction Al-Qaeda inflicted on our people when they were permitted a safe haven in Afghanistan. Security of the American people, we must not allow Al-Qaeda to establish a new safe haven in Iraq.
Can we pass a law? He doesn't get to do this anymore.
We need
anymore.
To give our troops all the equipment and the training and protection they need to prevail. That means that Congress needs to pass an emergency war spending bill quickly.
They did!
I've invited leaders of both parties to come to the White House tomorrow and to discuss how we can get these vital funds to our troops. I'm confident that with goodwill on both sides, we can agree on a bill that gets our troops the money and flexibility they need.
That's the problem, George. You don't have any goodwill. Filth.
The need to act is urgent. Without a war funding bill, the military has to take money from some other account or training program so the troops in combat have what they need. Without a war funding bill, the armed forces will have to consider cutting back on buying new equipment or repairing existing equipment.
Then why didn't you sign it?
Without a war funding bill, we add to the uncertainty felt by our military families.
Why didn't you sign it, George? It was there. It was done.
Troops and their families deserve better, and their elected leaders can do better. Here in Washington, we have our differences on the way forward in Iraq, and we will debate them openly. Yet whatever our differences, surely we can agree that our troops are worthy of this funding and that we have a responsibility to get it to them without further delay.
We already have, and don't call us
Shirley. Thank you for listening. May God bless our troops.
Huh, how about that? We didn't get a God bless America. And he turns away, walking again, bobbing along like Impeach Me Elmo.
President Bush is speaking right there at the White House. He said, just minutes.
Lord God, eight minutes of crap. How? Somebody help me here. I mean, I want legitimate help. How do the 28%ers keep falling for this crap? And I know there's... Bob, you don't have to say crap all the time. You don't want me saying what it is. Poopy. I mean, he was just opening his mouth and poopy was coming out. They need to fund the troops. They did. Darn it. You know, this business about, failure is not an acceptable outcome. Well, you know, we could have a civilized debate about that. Because, you see, you already failed, George. I mean, I can't tell. I mean, if any of you were watching the video, too, could you tell? Does this guy believe what he's saying, or is this just a desperate, cynical, murderous, homicidal end game to save his hide and make sure he doesn't go down in history as the guy who lost or the guy who pulled the troops out? Honest to God, I don't know the answer to that one. And it takes me back to that article from, Military Times Journal or whatever it is, by Lieutenant Colonel Yingling
from last week, where he said this is a failure of the leader, the leadership within the general staff. Really, really, honest to God, is Peter Pace still sitting there? You know, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is General Peter Pace sitting, looking at George, going, ah, you know, we, you know, I realize there's only 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter, but we've got a bomb left, and you know, we can win this thing. I really would like to know if within the halls of the White House they're still talking about winning and losing. And you know, this was the statement from Harry Reid today. He said, after more than 4 years of a failed policy, it's time for Iraq to take responsibility for its future. Today we renew our call to President Bush. There is still time to listen. There is still time to sign this bill and change the course in Iraq. I understand what he's saying, but I don't know. Again, it's what you don't know that really keeps you up at night, isn't it? I don't know what strategist out there has told Harry Reid that he needs to jump on the it's Iraq's fault bandwagon. If there is one thing that is true out of this whole blessed mess, is that it is not Iraq's fault. It's not the guy selling falafel on the corner of Tigris and Euphrates Boulevard. It is not his fault. It's not some guy who lives in a mud hut with his family raising wheat that is from a generational strain 5,000 years old. Iraq's problems are not his fault. He did not start shock and awe. The Iraqi people did not attack us. It is not Iraq's fault.
Well, they went to the polls and got them purple fingers. They're responsible now.
Horse feathers, Gomer. I want my side of this debate to stop talking about it's time for the Iraqis to stand up and the Iraqis have to show that they can. I don't ever want to hear it's time for Iraq to take responsibility. I don't ever want to hear that again. There are 750,000 dead Iraqis who every day got up out of bed, went to work, took care of their children, kissed their boo-boos, saw to their responsibilities, and we, you, me, George Bush, Dick Cheney, Richard Pearl, Wolfowitz, every stinking member of the United States Congress who voted for this war, those who didn't vote against it, the American people, we are responsible for the mess that Iraq is in. Aren't we? I mean, was Ahmed secretly on the submarine pushing the go button for the Tomahawk cruise missiles? Or was it because you and I signed our names to our tax returns in 2002 and the money was there to blow the snot out of babies in mud huts all over that poor benighted country? Damn! Stop that, Harry Reid. Nancy Pelosi, don't you do it again either.
It's time for the Iraqis to take responsibility for their own country.
They didn't break it, we did. It's time for us to take responsibility. And the way we take responsibility is by getting the hell out.
Oh, but then there'll be bloodbath.
Of course there's going to be a bloodbath. There's going to be a... Well, Mark Levine said it a few minutes ago. There's going to be a bloodbath in 2008, 2018, 2028, or 2128, whenever it is that we wise the hell up and get the hell out.
Oh, dear God, he's yelling again.
This is frustrating, because the first couple of times you go, you know, okay, it was wrong to go to war. Now we just end the war, okay? Everybody over here in the corner, and we're going to sing Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. Okay, have you got enough daisies to start tying them together and make little wreaths? Okay, great. Kumbaya, my Lord, end the war. Kumbaya, my Lord, end the war.
But see, that doesn't work with this murderous crowd.
It is time for us to take responsibility and get out.
End it.
They're not going to end it. Because we're the problem.
See, that's another one of those little the nagging problems, is that we can't come out and say,
you know, the military presence in Iraq is the problem. The problem is we're there and we're walking around and we got tanks and Humvees and striker brigades and missiles and bombs and bullets, and we're walking around and
that's the problem. The most common sense approach that I have heard to this yet is the idea that we need to start getting out, and as we get out, we need to hand over the operations to a multinational peacekeeping operation that actually speaks Arabic. I mean, can you imagine if China invaded us? No, I'm sorry, there's more English speakers in China than there are in the United States. Okay, if Mexico... No, there's more Spanish speaker in English speakers. No, that's not going to work either. Okay, if Martians invaded us and didn't speak English, and we were able to stand on the side on the street corner and go, that sucker's going to have hell break wide open for him at the next block, and just wave and smile nicely at the Martian soldiers. USA, USA, hey, cool, yeah, Mars rules, Mars rocks, yeah. You're going to get the crap blown out of you next block. I'm going to laugh my ass off.
Because that's what's going on. We don't speak the language. We found out that some of our Arabic translators had sex the wrong way, so we fired them. Because we don't want to know Arabic. We need it. There's got to be a multi... And, you know, I don't care if it's Egyptians, Jordanians, Syrians. Because, you know what? If the Iraqis hate them too, they'll do the same thing to them that they've done to us. So? But we broke it. And the Pottery Barn rule does not apply. Because we can't fix it. And if we don't get out, what happened this April, this most bleak, most horrid April on record in this god-awful war, is going to be made to look like chicken feed by next April. Are we clear on that? I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't. Is it because, you know? We can't say that the troop presence of the troops is the problem, because then some opportunistic mugwump will come out and say,
"See, you don't like the troops. You think they're a problem."
Well, golly, Ned, how are they not? The troops' presence in Iraq is a problem for all the families of the troops who are doing all the sacrificing. Because, I mean, let's face it, they're the only ones doing any sacrificing. Rush Limbaugh with his $4,000 bottle of wine a couple of nights ago at 21, he ain't sacrificing. Neil Bortz flying between Atlanta and where the hell ever in Florida in his little Roger Ramjet Air Jace airplane, he's not sacrificing. Hannity? The hell did he sacrifice? What, a trim to that haircut that he's a life support system for? He's not sacrificing. And look, let's be honest, I'm not sacrificing either. Neither's Agnes. Nobody on the Horn is sacrificing for the war effort. That's why it was done this way, because maybe if no sacrifice was called for, we wouldn't pay attention to it. But see, as a liberal, as a progressive, as a human being, I have this capacity for something called sympathy and empathy. And I do think about the families where daddy doesn't come home. Or mommy does. Mommy sees the baby when she comes home and can't remember from time to time who that baby belongs to, because she survived the signature injury of this war, a traumatic brain injury. And for that man, that pig-eyed, jug-eared lout to stand up in front of TV cameras and say, they need to send me a bill. They need to fund the troops. They did. Lord God, they did. Not only did they try to fund the troops with more money than is actually called for, they also tried to save the troops' lives. George Bush can't say that. George Bush won't say that. Let's go to the phone. Spike is joining us from Easton, PA. Hey, Spike, welcome to the program.
Well, Gonzo, greetings there, Mr. Kincaid. How are you this fine May Day?
I think I just lost a blood vessel in my eye, but I'll be all right.
Yeah, I can believe it. When Agnes answered the phone, I could hear you better than I could hear her, and you were in the background.
Yeah.
It's good to hear that emotion and energy. We should be that outreach. I mean, I don't believe I've called in quite a while, so
it's been a
I'm
going to
reference something kind of old, but... No, I did call about this, actually, but, you know, the Virginia Tech, there you go. It took everyone's eye off the ball about what was going on in this country. Forget about Alberto Gonzalez. Forget about Iraq. You know, everyone's running out and supporting child labor and the communist China by buying Virginia Tech merchandise that's been, you know, outsourced and manufactured overseas for dirt cheap.
Oh, wow, yeah, no kidding.
And, ultimately, it just only further made things worse the way they
marketed it. Got me a Chinese Virginia Tech magnet on the back of my SUV right next to my Chinese yellow ribbon magnet.
Yeah, and not to be confused with the communist China-made American flag many people wave outside their homes with. Perhaps the biggest no-no with the American flag. Perhaps far worse than burning it, getting one made in another country. I certainly digress on that subject.
Yeah, we could do a show on that.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, for how many years did we complain as liberals, Bush doesn't use the veto. He doesn't veto anything. He's a rubber stamp. And unfortunately, when does he deliver on that complaint is exactly when it behooves him and further screws the American public. You know, yet again, he's vetoing some. But took him awfully long time to figure out how to veto, but boy, oh boy, now that he's desperately trying to hold power, he uses that veto like it's going out of style.
Well, but doesn't this just make abundantly clear how thoroughly political this man is? He doesn't give a tinker's damn about the good of the Republic, Spike.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't even give a damn about the good of his own party. He gives a damn about the good of him. You know? He really doesn't even hold true to Republican values. That's the best part of all, is he was such a behemoth at one point, and you look at what a Republican's supposed to stand for, he didn't even stand for that. You know, he stood for his own profit and the profits of those around him, and that was it. I mean, pathetic. I mean, not to mention, too, once again, I'll use this one till probably I die, because sadly the war won't end soon enough, but... That he's Che Guevara. He won't leave. You know, the people are on our side. Believe me, even when you see all this unhappy, deep down inside, it's in their best interest to be, you know, with this. And it'll all work out. Oh, we just need a few more people. We just need a little more. It's going to continue and continue. I mean,
what is it? I mean, but what is it George wants one more of or some more of?
I mean, you know, we're not allowed to ask because, you know, I'm vetoing this because it contains benchmarks.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can't have any benchmarks, Ken, and we can't have any timelines. We can't have any metrics to determine success or failure. We're not allowed to talk about failure, for God's sakes. I mean, there's idiots out there calling for Harry Reid's removal from the Senate for telling the truth about what's going on. And failure is not an option. Okay, how are we going to know if we're succeeding? No benchmarks, no timelines, no nothing. How the hell do we know we've won? Because we're not. There's no ceremony on a battleship in Tokyo Bay in this one.
Yeah, well, you know, best of all, you mentioned the timeline. Jon Stewart actually, and the Daily Show actually did something good where they had him before the war laying out a timeline, essentially. You have 48 hours. You're not out of 48 hours. And now it's like, oh, we can't give numbers. But yeah, you know, to say he's a contradiction of himself at times is an understatement. You know, maybe the best way to get Bush in line is simply we need to get him some blow and some drums.
God, what a combination.
Yeah, get him coked up and on those drums, he might become a whole new man. You know, he'll start listening to people, you know, mainly because he'll probably be worn out from banging the drums nonstop that long.
Pot and bongos? I mean, yeah. Nah, blow and a set of Ludwigs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, maybe even a six pack, you know. Normally, when people clean up their acts, they become better people. Somehow, it seems like he became a worse person. I don't know. Then again, I guess seeing how his mother is, you know, not too hard of an accomplishment. But you know, the biggest thing too that still kills me is we're still dealing with people who don't want to admit that we shouldn't be there, and not just Bush. You know, he lives in his own world. You know, but. Maybe he has invisible friends that consult him on the war, you know, whatever. But, you know,
he does. Jesus.
Let's get to people who should know better. I mean, first of all, when you look back to the argument for war, by the way, you even said, you know, you broke it, you buy it, essentially. You know, it was amazing. The one veteran they had there in the administration back in the day was Colin Powell, and he warned, whoa, 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 we go in there and this stuff happens. It's your mess. It's going to be ugly. It's not always going to be a cakewalk. And they put their fingers in their ears. We don't hear you. You know, as much as I disagree with him on many issues, boy, oh boy, he wasn't afraid to actually explain reality to them, and they didn't want to hear it. And it seems like all these people who are left supporting the war don't want to live in reality. I mean, you know, Sean Hannity, the easiest way that he can't live in reality is he's got a bigger, you know, thing for Rosie O'Donnell than, you know, a lot of lesbian women in this country, I guess. I mean...
Yeah, oh, my eyes.
I mean, essentially, these people, they really do live in la-la land. They only hear what they want to hear.
Spike, if you ever give me a mental image of Sean Hannity naked again, I'm going to cut you off, okay? I just want to be clear about that.
Well, I'm certainly glad Keith Olbermann beat him in that sexiest guy on TV, news TV competition.
Well, I did catch Stephanie Miller cyber-stalking Keith earlier this evening, so... earlier this morning.
Yeah, well... It's amazing. Some of these people, they don't want to... McCain, you know, oh, I can walk safely down the street. Yeah, no kidding, I could walk safely down the street of any city if I had a special forces unit around me.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Yeah, I mean, and let alone when he made a total horses behind of himself on The Daily Show. I mean, you know, with Jon Stewart. By the way, I forget who it was that publicly ripped him when he made the IED joke.
Yeah.
That was kind of his nappy-headed statement, but yet people didn't come after him like that one, you know?
Well, you know...
Not that I miss Imus, but that was a bad statement, she got more press.
Spike, pointing out that John McCain is insane is just coals to Newcastle, okay? I mean, that's all it is. I mean, of course he's crazy. He's John McCain. Of course he's John McCain. He's crazy. You know, it just works that way.
But remember when he used to be the, quote, maverick? He used to actually... go against the Falwell types. Remember those good old days where he still had a slight bit of...
Yeah, when he had a straight talk express. I'm sorry, I never bought into it, Spike, because I always thought there was a little bit of the Manchurian candidate about him, because even when he was doing all of that crap, he was relatively fresh, only 10 or 15 years or so, 10 years or so off of being just busted in the savings and loan scandal.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's true too.
He was part of the Keating Five. I mean, what was the name? Was that at the Keating Five? It was either that or the Keaton Five. I get Michael J. Fox and McCain confused sometimes. Yeah, sorry, didn't mean to do that. No, but it was Keaton, something like that, and that was there was nothing maverick about that. That was just plain old fashioned political sleaze.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people. The president's brother was caught up in a scandal as well.
And it was all part of savings and loan. There was Keating, and then Neil was caught up in Silverado savings and loan, where every now and then he'd walk in and say, "Can I have a box of money? Are you the president's son? Yeah, I am. Take two boxes."
Hey, that isn't the same company that advertises gold with Michael Weiner, is it? That's a different company, right?
Lord, I hope so.
Because the way you said it sounded like one of those companies you hear there on talk radio. Oh, buy silver and gold. Oh.
Silver is never going to be more valuable than it is right now. Yeah. Especially if you're dumb enough to call us and buy. And then, yeah.
Yeah, well, my favorite was the world's going to come to an end on New Year's Day 2000. I kind of wished it would. Looking back, things would have ended a lot better if the world would have ended on Y2K.
Yeah, and then we would have had Hunter Thompson and Vonnegut both standing there alive going, "Told you."
Yeah, there you go. I mean, maybe in a way Y2K was true, but it wasn't so much the lights going out and chaos in the streets as much as it did usher in a century of insanity, and it's just going to grow. I can't wait to see my 100th birthday. God knows what'll be left of this world.
Oh, God.
That's a long ways away, at least. At least I have some time to slowly die with pain.
You're such an optimist, Spike.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the American way, the American way. You gotta look at it, the American way, I'm sorry. I'm going to be greeted with flowers tomorrow on the streets because I'm going to get a kitten out of the tree. Everything will be peachy. Yeah, that's the American way.
Indeed, it is. Spike, awful good to hear from you, brother.
All right,
you holding up okay?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I gotta get the rest of my horn removed on Wednesday, so I'll be good. Different horn, no periods in between the letters.
Yeah.
Thrown out of my head. Sometimes hitting power lines and causing trouble.
Yeah, what are you, Randy Pan Goat Boy now? I mean.
Well, I have a 7 7/8 hat size, so I have a large head to fit around in public. It's hard not to hit it on things.
Yeah, I'm a 7 3/8, so I know how it is.
Yeah, let me guess, a little bit of Irish in you.
Yeah, lots of Scots. Haven't found the Irishman yet.
Same region of the world. I think that particular region of the world has a lot of thick skulls.
Yeah, you could drive nails.
So I can't wait to hear Kucinich later. One of only two Democrats who should be president. Neither one, by the way, you hear about on the media.
Oh, I know. That's frustrating. But no, there's some. I expect us to be able to talk about impeachment A to Z.
Yeah. And also, you know, Mercer. By the way, if you can remember that later, you know, even Mercer's starting to float that one out there. You know, so the conservative Democrats are even starting to speak the words. Oh, maybe we should look into it. So they might be, especially Dick Cheney. You know, he shot a friend in the face. Easy guy to go after first with an impeachment. I mean, this is going after the hitman, essentially. I'd rather they get him than Dopey, because I suspect the gunny man, I suspect he had more to do with it anyhow. So.
Well, it's like the bumper sticker you see going around these days. Impeach Cheney first.
Exactly. All right. Take care, my man.
All right. We'll see you, Spike.
Yep.
Later. Our good buddy Spike in Easton, PA, who beat us to the hang-up. I hate it when we get the hang-up noise on the air.
Sorry, guys, I'm
kind of
slow, but...
Well, you know, I mean, no, you're doing four jobs at one time, Agnes. What do we want? hold that arm. Where are those other arms? Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, shoot me some emails, bob@headonradio.com, if there are specific questions you want asked of Congressman Kucinich in relation to impeachment. I'd like to know them, please. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Yeah.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Yeah, my name is Billy Shears.
This is Billy Shears. Join me every Friday at 11 on Foxed Up with John Fox. Each week, I'll feature an artist and a song with a little commentary, and we'll examine why music plays such an important role in our social and political climate. We'll try and make it fun, informative, and entertaining. That's here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, with John Fox, every Friday at 11 a.m. And for music and political commentary by great liberal minds, check out my website at unreportednews.net. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Before the hour, and as we prepare for our conversation with Congressman Kucinich, just a couple of things to point out to you. In discussing the fact that the Congress delivered the resolution that gave George Bush every penny of the money he wanted for his Iraq war today, and you know, it's May 1st, and it's a mission accomplished day. Dana Perino. The White House spokeswoman remarked, "It is a trumped up, you know, because she's like does she, give her it's Valley Girl speak. It's trumped up political stunt that is the height of cynicism. It is very disturbing to think that they possibly held up this money for the troops and troops' families on the resources that they need to try some PR stunt on this day. P- political stunt that is the height of cynicism. You know, Dana Perineal, you better watch out, or talking that crap, that garbage, will rot you from the inside out like it is Tony Snow. But speaking of cheap political stunts, I offer for your edification a proclamation by the President of the United States of America. Our nation is built upon the rule of law and guided by our founding promise of freedom, equality, and justice for all. Law Day is an opportunity to celebrate the Constitution and the laws that protect our rights and liberties, and to recognize our responsibility as citizens to uphold the values of a free and just society. Generations of Americans have served the cause of justice and shaped our legal institutions to ensure that the blessings of liberty extend to every citizen. The men and women of America's legal community have worked to defend the Constitution, protect the innocent, and secure the rights of their fellow citizens. Their efforts have helped make our nation a shining example of justice. America's faith in the rule of law has endured through the centuries. Today we strive to prepare our next generation of leaders to carry on America's tradition of freedom and democracy. The theme of this year's Law Day, Liberty Under Law, Empowering Youth, Assuring Democracy, highlights the importance of teaching our young people about the vital role they can play in our democratic society. We all have a duty to help our youth become responsible citizens by promoting the virtues that sustain our democracy and fostering a deeper understanding and respect for our Constitution and laws. These young men and women will shape the future of our country, and their spirit and character will help promote justice, equality, and opportunity throughout our country as long as they go to Pat Robertson's Legal University. Now, therefore, I, George W. Bush, President of the United States of America, in accordance with Public Law 8720, as amended, do hereby proclaim May 1st, 2007, as Law Day USA. I call upon all the people of the United States to observe this day with appropriate ceremonies and activities. I also call upon government officials to display the flag of the United States in support of this national observance like they wouldn't have otherwise. Oh, no, I don't feel like flying the flag. Oh, it's National Law Day. Oh, hell, run it up the back. Jeez. National Law Day. And it is. May 1st of every year is National Law Day. And this guy had... Oh. You know, is there some little dude slaving away writing these proclamations in the basement of the White House just vomiting while he types? Can't believe I went to college and I did, and now I'm writing proclamations for National Law Day for a guy who thinks habeas corpus is outmoded and quaint. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was torture. Yeah, there's your cheap political stunt, Dana Babblefish. There's your cheap political stunt. Oh, and by the way, while they were out there declaring this to be National Law Day, Law Day USA, they also declared something else. Today is also, and I hope you didn't miss it, because I want to know that you were out there celebrating and everything. Today is Loyalty Day. No, really, it's Loyalty Day. You can even look it up on Wikipedia. Apparently it was started in 1921 because the Republicans were all worried about the communist menace. So the Republicans had to come up with something to counteract what was then called Labor Day, when working people celebrated the fact that they make the world go round. This was... May 1st was the original Labor Day. So we got a proclamation on this one, too. America was founded by patriots who risked their lives to bring freedom to our nation. Today, our citizens are grateful for our founding fathers and confident in the principles that lead us forward. On Loyalty Day, we celebrate the blessings of freedom and remember our responsibility to continue our legacy of liberty. How quaint! Today becomes Loyalty Day. So, well, you see, I did that because you got to understand that Harry Reid was being disloyal, and so was Nancy Pelosi, by sending me that bill that gave me everything I wanted except an end of the war, which I don't want. And we're supposed to, I guess, have a loyalty party today? All right, let's go quickly to North Dakota and our buddy Bob. A couple of minutes here before the top of the hour. Hey, Bob.
Hello, my friend.
How are you?
And, well, I'm fine, and, you know, I'm still breathing the air, but, you know, I heard that there's this great American going to come on soon.
Yep, about 5 minutes, well, about 10 minutes now.
Yeah, and his name is Dennis Kucinich.
Right.
And I would just be proud as peaches if that man were to just strike out and take the presidency back for the American people, because I've listened to him, I've supported him, I believe in him, and Dennis Kucinich is a true American. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, verily.
Huh?
Yeah, you verily feel the healing waves of faith coming out of your radio speakers. Hallelujah.
Bob, Dennis Kucinich is an honest, decent human being first. He's a Democrat because of his affliction, the same one that you and I have, that you care about other before yourself. You care about other human beings. You care about the Iraqi people, the Iranian people. You care about people across this planet, and that's an affliction.
Because all I see is working people, Bob.
Yes, working people. People that work to put food on their family.
I don't want working people in America to go slaughtering working people in Iran or Iraq or anywhere else.
Absolutely. We, the human race, have to stand up against these reptilicans. That's a new one I learned. They're not republicans, they're reptilicans.
Yeah, they've been demoted.
They're lower than slime. Bob, they are the most ugly creatures that have ever walked this planet. They make the Nazis look like good guys. These people, they don't care about anything other than themselves. And they are the reptilicans. They are that throwback.
And all we can do is hope that people like Congressman Kucinich will continue to stand up and be tough on them and call them, you know, call them on their evil to their faces. I'm up against the news, though, Bob. Thank you a lot. I appreciate it.
Love to you and Agnes and the kids and to the world. Strength and unity. What was that brave Polish man?
Ah, Lech Wałęsa, Solidarność.
Yes. Solidarity. Yes.
That's right. All right, Bob, you take it easy, brother.
Okay, bye-bye.
Later. All right, we go to the news now. When we come back, our conversation, with any luck at all, cross your fingers and anything else you feel like crossing, our conversation with Congressman Kucinich coming up. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid, and we'll be back after the news.
Is the Quality News Network. Despite a certain veto, congressional Democrats sent President Bush the Iraq War Funding Bill today, containing a timetable for U.S. troop withdrawal. The bill hits the president's desk on the four-year anniversary of his speech on board a USS aircraft carrier that declared an end to fighting in Iraq and mission accomplished. A White House aide says the president plans to make a statement in just a few minutes about his expected veto of that Iraq war funding bill, which he says would cause chaos. This afternoon, the president visited MacDill Air Force Base in Florida to meet with top U.S. commanders. Tomorrow, he will meet with a bipartisan group of congressional leaders. There are conflicting reports coming out of Iraq about whether the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq has been killed. Some said he was killed by Sunni tribesmen. However, an al-Qaeda umbrella group stated on its website that he is still alive and well. The Iraqi government said today more than 1,500 civilians, however, were killed throughout the country in April. That's nearly a 20% drop from March. April was also one of the deadliest months so far this year for U.S. forces. At least 104 American troops were killed during the month. That makes it the sixth deadliest month since the war began 4 years ago. And Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez has taken over the last of the privately run oil fields in his country. The companies forced to give up control include BP, ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, and Chevron. Chavez is also nationalizing Venezuela's electricity and telecommunications companies. Yesterday, Chavez symbolically announced that he is pulling Venezuela out of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund as well. In Havana, thousands of workers celebrated May Day as they marched through Cuba's Revolution Plaza. However, ailing leader Fidel Castro was not seen in public. The 80-year-old underwent intestinal surgery and stepped down from power temporarily 9 months ago. In cities across the U.S. today, immigrants are holding rallies to demand a path to citizenship for the estimated 12 million illegal immigrants currently in America. Phoenix, Chicago, Detroit, Miami were among the cities where marches were held. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news next.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission. Mary Knoll.
The American Lung Association's list of most polluted cities in the U.S. finds Los Angeles is the pollution leader. Pittsburgh was the second most polluted city, followed by Bakersfield, California. The Interior Department has released a 5-year plan to open oil drilling off the Virginia coast and expand drilling in Alaska and the Gulf of Mexico. The proposal now waits congressional and presidential approval. Denver-based Quest reports its quarterly profit nearly tripled. The telecommunications company credits cost-cutting and an increase in broadband internet customers. Circuit City is warning it expects a quarterly loss of up to $90 million despite its recent cost-cutting moves. The nation's second-largest electronics retailer says its sales have been disappointing, especially those of flat-panel TVs. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke warned against economic isolationism. He said it would be a serious mistake that could jeopardize the benefits of free trade. Rupert Murdoch's News Corp has made a $5 billion offer to buy Dow Jones & Company, which owns the Wall Street Journal. The unsolicited bid would be in either cash or a cash and News Corp stock combination. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.40 at the close of Wall Street, another record for the Dow, up 73 points, the Nasdaq up 6, and there's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Chrisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, as promised, we are very, very pleased to welcome back to the program Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who joins us now. Thank you very much for taking time from a very busy schedule, Congressman, to join us and have a little conversation about impeachment.
First of all, Bob, thank you for the honor of being on your show. I've always appreciated it, and let's talk.
Okay, great. First of all, let me just say I and the folks who share their time listening to this program and this network are so very proud of the courage you exhibited in introducing this bill of impeachment. Tell me, please, Congressman, why just Cheney?
Well, the vice president was the driving force behind the public promotion of the war. He went out to the media, all the major shows, said Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. We know. He said over and over again, tried to make the connection between al-Qaeda and Iraq to justify an attack on Iraq. And now, keeps beating the drums for aggression and taking a very aggressive approach against Iran, threatening Iran. And so, first of all, there is a case against the vice president. Secondly, it would be appropriate to start with the vice president only because if you were to start with the president and the president gets impeached, then Mr. Cheney becomes the president. So I think that it's important to work this so that someone who is very responsible for the violation of the Constitution is held accountable, and then you will see how that goes in the Congress.
I would hope that this will gain momentum. It seems to a lot of us in the progressive community, Congressman, that it ought to be a slam dunk. Oh, sorry, don't mean to use that phrase. It ought to be a no-brainer. Everything that you've cited is true, and frankly, I get the suspicion that your bill of impeachment could have been considerably longer with considerably more counts, but you probably didn't want to clutter it up. What kind of a response are you getting in the House?
Well, members are carefully evaluating it. The congressional record tomorrow will show that a few members signed on today. And I think what happens is that after people get a chance to consider it and search their own consciences, that they'll determine that it's appropriate to call the vice president to an accounting. After all, he took an oath of office, just like the president, to defend the Constitution. And I think it's not arguable that our country's security has been undermined by this war, that our economic security has been damaged, our physical security has been damaged, our relationship in the world has been undermined. And so what I'm saying is that it's not all right, that there has to be a response, that Congress is the appropriate institution in our country to provide a check and balance through the abuse of executive power. And so I'm pursuing using a constitutional remedy, which democratic societies require when serious abuses have occurred.
Well, you mentioned the oath, Congressman, that Vice President Cheney and President Bush took. You as a member of Congress and all the other members of the House and of the Senate also took an oath upon taking office, and that is in relation to the Constitution. I take the position here that a constitutional remedy such as impeachment is almost mandatory upon you when upon discovering high crimes and misdemeanors.
I would agree with you.
How then do we wind up with phrases like "not on the table"?
Well, I think that there's an attempt to draw a political equation here, which ignores our constitutional responsibility. And so, what I'm doing is trying to keep it focused on the Constitution and not on the politics. Look, I don't care if someone's a Democrat or Republican. That's of no concern of mine. And the Republicans, the Democratic leaders have said, this is off the table. But you know what? I think that my responsibility is first to the Constitution and down the line to my party. And so that's why I'm coming forward. And I think that our leaders are going to have to pay careful attention to the voices of the American people who are going to be heard on this. I have to tell you, I think there's many Americans who share the feeling that they say, I can't believe what's happened to our country in the last 5 years. And the way the administration took advantage of 9/11 to drive us into a condition of even deeper fear and have us attack a nation that had nothing to do with 9/11, there's people just sick about this all over America, and they feel that our country's being lost, that this country that we treasure, that our hearts so much involved in, is something has been lost, but it's not irretrievable. We have an obligation to reclaim what is good and what is great in America. And the law is there for us to do that, and that's why I'm proceeding.
Well, it was, I believe, in excess of 2 years ago and it's the last that we've heard of it since. I believe it was the Zogby organization that did a poll, and in excess, and 2 years ago, in excess of 50% of the American people said, if it can be proven that the Bush administration told lies to get us into the Iraq war, then impeachment is an appropriate remedy. And yet that polling, I don't know if the word was put out that you don't ask that question anymore, but I would think that if it was 50% 2 years ago, those numbers must surely have risen commensurate with the people who have wised up about the war.
Well, I didn't look at any polls when I moved forward. I have to tell you that. I mean, I've thought about this a long time, Bob. I mean, I'd come home after being in Washington, and I'd talk about this with my wife, and I'd come home so many times, and I'd say, I just have to say something, and I keep telling myself I have to do something about this, and then finally, when I saw the vice president keep making these statements about Iran, and when I saw them moving, another carrier into Iran, and the bunker busters and the Patriot missiles into the region. And I read about all these covert activities going on. It occurred to me, my God, they're going to do the same thing all over again. And so I felt that I have, it's my patriotic duty to say something. And so I couldn't be silent any longer. I had to come forward with this, even though my party may not be happy about it. And even though people would say, well, we have other things to talk about. I think this question of the Constitution of the United States is probably the most important question of governance we have. Because if we can't follow that sacred text, then who are we as a nation? And so I'm really holding out a hope that our Congress will understand its responsibility to provide an adequate check and balance to the abuse of power that we've seen.
One of the things I think that we run up against, those of us who believe that the Constitution should be followed, I think this is a constitutional issue of, like you, paramount importance, is what we get out of the mainstream media, Congressman Kucinich, and that is the characterization of the use of a constitutional device such as impeachment being described as a constitutional crisis, as if the Constitution will collapse.
It seems to me that the crisis develops when you don't defend the Constitution. The crisis develops when someone who took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States it wages an illegal war, in violation of the oath to protect this country, and jeopardizes us in the international community. I think that when someone would lie to get us into a war, that goes against everything this country's based on. And so, to say somehow that that kind of action should not be permitted or is outside the pale of public consideration forgets that we have a long constitutional tradition that any time it's been demonstrated that an executive power has been abused, the people have the right to remedy it. They put that in the Constitution for a specific reason.
Well, exactly. And yet it would seem that the media elite in this country somehow sneers or looks down its nose at the ability of the American people to make such a judgment call. And there is, if you saw the activities of April the 28th this past Saturday, there were impeachment rallies all around the country, including right across the street from the building where the president was speaking down in Miami. This is something, and you were on the front end with the with getting it right about the Iraq war, and the people came along to came over to your side. I think impeachment is going to go the same way, but it is absolutely critical that we get the message out there of the whys and the wherefores. This isn't political vendetta. This isn't political gotcha. This isn't payback for Monica. This is a constitutional issue based upon the violation of the most sacred, if we can use that word, laws of the United States. Is there any chance, Congressman Kucinich, of you getting to lay the case out on one of the Sunday talk shows or somewhere that America has a greater chance of hearing from you?
Well, I would hope so. And I think because I'd like the opportunity to be able to explain in detail why I believe it is absolutely required that we move forward with an impeachment of the vice president. I think that when you look at lying to take this country into a war, when you look at saying that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, or that Iraq was going to use those weapons against the United States, and therefore we had to act. And when you look at how they tried to tie Iraq into Al Qaeda's role in 9/11, what I have said in this impeachment is that in his conduct that the vice president has violated his constitutional oath to faithfully execute the office of vice president, and to the best of his ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and in violation of his constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. And so, you know, this is a very carefully worded impeachment document, which spells out, and I would say in great detail, in the manner of an indictment, that the vice president has purposely manipulated the intelligence process and fabricated the threat of a weapons of mass destruction, and then goes on to be quite specific in citing chapter and verse, backing up all these assertions. You cannot take an impeachment lightly. This is a process that provides a mechanism for the removal of a vice president, and for anyone found to be have engaged in high crimes and misdemeanors. And this is a very important, serious responsibility that the Constitution puts in the hands of the House of Representatives. And so I take this with the utmost seriousness and spent a lot of time carefully considering this and asking if there was any other way that this could be addressed. And after a great deal of thought and careful consideration, I decided to move forward with this because I felt it's important to say that we do support our Constitution. It's important to say that we expect the highest level of performance of our public officials. That we aren't in an anything goes atmosphere. That we do have people who are good and great in this country. Has this long tradition that has been painstakingly put together over 200 years and a quarter of a century, and it's just not right what's happened. That's all.
It really is that simple. I know time is short, Congressman, but just a couple of last questions. One, we all watched the debate the other night, and I have to tell you that probably the most disheartening moment out of that entire event was when your fellow candidates were asked to put up their hands if they would be willing to support your action to defend the Constitution, and it was sad to me, Congressman, when I saw not one hand go up. What has to happen? What has to happen to bring the so-called moderates, middle of the roaders, lukewarmers, whatever? What has to happen to bring them around?
Well, I think the what you identified as taking place during the presidential debate was a signal moment. First of all, I had no idea that we were going to ask that question, but what it did, it really gave each of us a chance to demonstrate the kind of standards that we have for the office of president. I think that we have to expect that our president is going to be a person who would be so careful about the law, who would love this country so much, that would be so careful about the power of the office and never lie to the people about anything. And I have to say, I took the steps to challenge Mr. Clinton when he lied. I was one of the few Democrats who said, well, he didn't tell the truth, and I think we probably have to ask some questions. Now, a lot of people didn't like that. But I feel that office of president is so special, and the vice president is so special, that we have a right to expect a high level of conduct. Now, if Mr. Clinton, who was trapped in a personal indiscretion, should be subject to that kind of a process, imagine the level of gravity that we're looking at here with respect to the conduct of the Vice President of the United States. I mean, imagine how much more serious, how grave this is. Why, there's not even a comparison here. And so that's why we have such a serious obligation. And I think that members of Congress, when they get a chance to reflect on this, will realize that the millions of Americans who we've been hearing from, and, I've I started a discussion a couple months ago on my website at Kucinich.us, and I listened to what people had to say. You know, Bob, I went around the country. I heard from people. And after hearing from people, I made a decision. But I'll tell you, this is about what kind of a country we want. And I think I want a country that is loved around the world, that takes care of the people here at home, that doesn't jeopardize us by getting us into illegal wars, that only uses our troops for purposes of really protecting America, that works with the world community when other nations are in jeopardy, that finds a way to use the resource of America to make sure people have health care, housing, jobs. This country hasn't even come close to tapping the greatness that it's capable of. But we really have to change our direction. And I think we have to go back to that old safeguard, that old Constitution. That's the book upon which this country was built. And I'm going to make sure that anything that I can do to have those who have the responsibility of guiding this country, that they follow that Constitution. And if I think that the Vice President has violated that oath of office, I have an obligation, a moral and solemn obligation, to say, here's the articles of impeachment, and other members of Congress, I think, will soon follow.
What can people who are hearing this now, the folks all around the country,
I think they need to, first of all, I would urge people, if they want information, to go to my website at Kucinich.us and sign up. But beyond that, I think people need to, read the articles, search their own heart, decide if this is something that they think is necessary. If it is, contact their member of Congress and ask them to support it. But only after reviewing the information, because this is not, to me, this is a process that must be far beyond politics. This is a process that deals with how, what are our standards? How, is there such a thing as a responsibility on the part of those who guide this country to tell the truth and protect the laws? And so that's why I'm doing this, and to uphold the Constitution, and I appreciate a chance to be on your show, as always, and I think it'd be great if, a couple weeks from now, maybe we could check back and see how this has been going, and maybe have a chance to talk about some of the other things. Today was 4 years ago our president said the mission was accomplished in
Yes.
Iraq, and there's been thousands and thousands of our young people who died since then. And it breaks my heart to see all these young people's lives being brought to an end. They love their country. They serve their country. They put their lives on the line. All these innocent civilians in Iraq losing their lives, the treasure of this nation being spent. And all for what? All because the American people were misled into a war. I love this country. I want to see us take this country back and create an America where things like this are unthinkable in the future.
Abraham Lincoln called it a new birth of freedom.
Well, that and we need that. Again, we need a rebirth of freedom. I thank you so much.
Thank you, Congressman Kucinich. You are welcome here anytime. We will we'll try to get the fires lit under our various and sundry members. And maybe we can have that chat in a couple of weeks. I'd sure like
it. Let's do that. And at any time, it's Kucinich.us. Thanks again.
Thank you, Congressman. And a very good evening to you.
Bye.
Bye. Congressman Dennis Kucinich, you want a definition of patriotism? There's a definition of patriotism. Mm-hmm. That grabbed me. He said, don't... just because I say do it, don't run out and call your congressman's office or send an email. Go to Kucinich.us, read the articles of impeachment, search your heart, search your conscience, see if this is something that the Republic requires. This is a mechanism put in place inside the Constitution for those instances when our elected leaders, our elected representatives, in particular the president, the vice president, when they have run amok and they have violated the law. You see, it's important to remember that high crimes and misdemeanors was the phrase put into the Constitution because at the time of the Constitution's adoption, because the Constitution is what put in place everything else, there were no defined federal laws. I mean, Title I U.S. Code, this is the U.S. Code, had not been written. So those geniuses, those true geniuses, is anybody going to doubt that Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin were geniuses? God knows, Madison, those geniuses put into the Constitution that language, high crimes and misdemeanors. So what Congressman Kucinich would have you do is to read the articles, read the Constitution, see if it makes sense. Eschew, put aside any idea of political vendetta. Comprehend the absolute gravity of the situation. And then, if you are willing, as a citizen of the United States, if you yearn for that rebirth of freedom and a reinvigoration of the Republic, if that is what you want, if that is what you seek, if that is what you desire, then go to work. Go to work on your member of Congress, Republican or Democrat. Do it without rancor. Do it without hatred. Do it almost dispassionately, save for the passion that you hold for the Constitution. You know, the fundamentalists like to say, our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. No, it wasn't. Our nation was founded by and upon the Constitution of the United States. It is the one document that trumps all. Search it. Hold it in your heart. Mull it, consider it, and at the end of the day, politely, respectfully inform your representative in the House of Representatives that you expect to see his or her signature on that bill of impeachment. And on the day that you so request, know full well that you may be counted among the patriots of this nation, no less, no lower, but absolutely equal with every human being in this nation who has ever stood up for freedom. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network, a place where patriots speak. America's liberal voice. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
Voices from the grave saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Remember those who have died by hands, remember those in far off lands, the innocent child, the newborn babe, a mother's hope, all blown away. Voices from the grave saying out there, gotta stop us, gotta stop us. Voices from the grave saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. And what about those who are still alive in hospital beds with burned out eyes, their bodies ruined by Allied bombs, mercy come from? Voices from the grave.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
This is the record company. Yes, this is the record company. Call me back because I am a magazine. Thank you. I couldn't tell by your recording. It's very noisy and you don't know what's going on.
I don't know where the time goes. What keeps you going? Wonderful band called Bongwater. Well, great radio. What keeps you going? Let's go to the phones. And talking about what keeps me going, go to the phones and talk to our good buddy Phil in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bob. And thanks for mentioning in your talk with Kucinich that they all took that oath to the Constitution, too. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. We have, well, not 535. We have 534 people not living up to that oath right now.
Well, he said it, but and there's the little mystery we'd like to find an answer to, Phil. He said he got a couple of sign-ons today.
Dynamite. And they better be signing on for their political ass, you know, because to save their political arses. I don't know. I know you've probably got a string of callers. I do want to say I was in Miami with we went down with Sam Simpson and the St. Pete's for Peace. She put together a great 10-minute video documentary of the protest down in Miami Saturday. There were in between 1,000, 1,200, maybe even as high as 1,500 during the 4 hours. People, it was incredible. I've been to demonstrations in Washington and Boston with New York City with 500,000 people, and the energy at this thing was incredible. So, folks, if you do get a chance, go over to afterdowningstreet.org and check out the different videos of YouTubes and all that. And there's some great stuff of our events in Florida. But here's, Kucinich said that to search your heart and think about it and research it. I don't think the question is that difficult. It's very, very simple, and I think we the people need to reframe this. What can be more impeachable than lying to start a GD war? It's as simple as that, Bob, and I think that's what we got to start asking these Congress people. You tell me, Mr. Congressman, my employee, what is so difficult about this? Please explain it to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've got.
No, but I think, Phil, I think the gravity goes to the means by which we examine this, because this cannot be perceived as political gotcha. It can't be perceived as payback for Clinton. It's not.
And that's very good, because when that they come back, some goofball was on with Guy James today about, you know, and they always bring Clinton in it. And I remember meeting with my congressman face-to-face a couple of years ago in, you know, the September 24th thing, you know, and he's giving me all this bull, and then he, you know, he throws in Clinton, and I say, I'm not talking about Clinton, I'm talking about you, this war, and right now, September 2005. I tell you, this guy looked at me like no one ever said anything like that to him. And then he just stopped his whole thing. I think these guys are, they're so used to living in another world, man, that, and they're so used to the American people treating these congressmen and senators like they're some kind of gods or something better. They're our GD employees, damn it, and if the American people better get an attitude, we better start getting more, and you know we are, because I saw it on Saturday. And Saturday in Miami is a reflection of what was going on all over the country, and I think it is.
It was.
The people are ready, and there's a campaign right now. You can pick it up on afterdowningstreet.org. This one fella started it. All it takes is one. There's a big campaign of people signing on to go to Pelosi's district and campaign against her to unseat her and for not putting impeachment on the table, for not impeaching these creeps. We the people have the power. We have it. If we use it, we have it. You know?
Phil, let me ask you a couple of questions, if I could, please.
Yes.
And I'm not deliberately changing the subject. I can't imagine that Nancy Pelosi's district is just quiet. I mean, it's Frisco, right? I mean, that's not a hotbed of conservative, stay the course sort of namby pamby middle of the road milk toast milk sop. That's not that district.
And so you see some of the videos that went down in her district this last Saturday. Some of the events. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was just going to ask you, first of all, who is your member of Congress?
Mine is a 8-term Republican. John Micah here in Central Florida, and that's my guy.
Well, you know, the reason I ask is one of the things that I would think is would have to be critical to this is getting the House Judiciary Committee interested.
Yes.
And I noticed that Robert Wexler, Florida's 19th. As well as Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Both on the committee, yes.
Are both on House Judiciary.
Yes.
If you know people in those districts, get the fire lit. Because, you know, while the committee chair controls the agenda,
Yes.
That's John, you know, that's John Conyers. He wrote a book on impeaching George Bush.
Right, and that book got locked in the lockbox after November 2nd, and I think that's what happened. What happened was November 2nd came along, and, you know, November 3rd, all this stuff was supposed to be put in action, and instead Pelosi locked it all down, and, you know, I think that's what's the difference.
There are places we can bring pressure to bear. Yeah. Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Robert Wexler are both members of what they called the 30-something Democrats.
Yes.
You know, they're forward-thinking. They're out there. They're not all mired up in the mud. They're not some 92-year-old member of Congress. You know, we've always done it this way. No, they're out there.
Yes.
They're vibrant, and they're alert, and they're 30-something. And I would think that would be a great inroad. Keith Ellison, the new congressman from Minnesota, the one that...
I want to thank Dan Fearn of the Impeach for Peace and the Minnesota Vet. He's also Twin Cities Vets for Peace out there. He's very active, and those guys are really hounding Ellison.
Good. So,
holding him to his word.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I even kind of hate that we use a word like hounding, because all we're doing is demanding, and that's the way we have to go about this, I think, Phil, is a simple, polite request, demand that the Constitution be followed.
Well,
impeachment. The Constitution requires impeachment.
People are still not even getting close to waking up to this. We're not losing our country. We lost it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about fighting to take it back now. We lost it. We have a Congress that doesn't follow the Constitution. We have a Congress that, I don't know if you heard Dick Durbin's, crying talk last week where he said, well, I knew the intelligence wasn't worth the, you know. They said, what the hell, don't you speak up? These people knew, Bob. They all knew what was going on. Hell, if we knew when it was going down, you think they didn't know?
I know.
I mean, you know, I think the American people, I think the politeness, BS. I think we need an attitude, man. And we better get an attitude, because these people that you mentioned dying, they're dying while we're finding our backbone. You know, every single day it's on us. It ain't on the politicians. The politicians got taken from us a few years back, and if you haven't figured that out yet, man, you know, and the reason why we're all scratching our head wondering why is this happening is because these politicians got taken from us. They're serving the powers that be, and not we the people. And we're going to have to fight to get them back.
Well,
we got to add enough pressure on these politicians. We got to shake them up, man. This polite stuff, it's not what's going to do.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at, Phil, is you can't just go up there, you know. And I don't mean you. We can't go up there with, like, you know, spit flying out of our mouth.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know because I'm going to differ with you on that, Bob. What is it? Something walks and something talks and shit walks. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this polite stuff. These guys have been. It can't be any more clearer. These guys flat out lied to start a war. They should be in jail. This whole war should never. This whole invasion was. There were. It could have been stopped in 100 different ways by 100 different people, and these are the people we're supposed to be polite to. BS. We should be raking them over the coals. In my opinion.
Yeah, and you know the coals they hate the most, Phil.
No.
I started saying this back primary season of last year, when people were getting, and including me, getting upset about some rather seminal votes the wrong way by some of our so-called Democratic leaders.
Mm.
If you want to get in their face about this, look at them and threaten and you know, by threaten them, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I don't mean violence. I mean let them know that you'll get them where it hurts, at the ballot box.
Exactly, and that's
and see, this is the time right now. Not, you know, not sometime later. Right now is the time to be finding people to field in primaries.
Yes.
Because by the time we get to the general election, a lot of us get to this place where it's, oh, I can vote for an absolute nut job, or I can vote for the Democrat who voted against everything I believed in. I mean, I got faced with that this past election.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, that's that. And if you don't want that, then you've got to have the possibility of something you can really, really get behind and support, and that starts in the primary process. So you tell these people, look, here's your chance. Get behind impeachment, or I'll motivate every Democrat that I can find to not be behind you.
And that's what this fella, the guy doing with the Pelosi, saying he's already organized a movement to unseat her, and he's got volunteers. I signed up myself, you know, I think, Bob, that we got to look at this thing right now, right today, and we have to show these freeloaders in Washington that we are angry. Otherwise,
we have a right to be angry. The Constitution is being destroyed, has been destroyed before our very eyes, Phil. I mean,
yes, but we got to show them we're angry. Show them enough. We got to show enough anger where they stop giving lip service, you know, and actually, Bob, these troops, you and I know this. Anyone with a brain knows this. You can put those 140,000, whatever it is, troops over there, these poor kids on their fourth, you know, and fourth tours, we could have them all on airplanes and the heck out of Iraq by this time next week.
Yeah, we could get it started.
We can leave Halliburton there and let them keep building the biggest embassy on the planet Earth, and, you know.
And they're 50,000 mercenaries, you know, sure.
We got to get our kids out of there, and the only thing that's keeping these kids over there is us not demanding it. Us, we the people, we the people are still thinking that these politicians are actually representing us. We the people, man, that's gone a long time ago, man. They've been taken from us. Eisenhower warned on his farewell speech in, you know, 1961, you know, beware of this military-industrial complex. The Democrat-Republican, it's all BS, man. It's really about who's controlling these people in Congress. And right now, the people are not. And it's going to take a lot of mobilization and a lot of, you know, you got to get angry, people. You got to get angry because the only thing... The only hope these troops have
is us.
Is us, because everyone else has a different agenda for them. You know, the military-industrial complex owns the politician, and as long as there's not enough pull from us, they're going to go with the military-industrial complex, and then, you know, and they throw us a bone here.
And you know, I've heard that term redefined lately, Phil. I hear people no longer referring to it as the military-industrial complex. It's the military-industrial media complex.
Well, you because know what that, Eisenhower had in his speech? He had military-industrial congressional complex in that farewell speech for 1961, and they had him take out congressional. That was 1961, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah.
They own the media, general, like, I mean, come on.
Sure.
You know, turn the damn TV off.
Well, you know, I didn't have as much time with Congressman Kucinich as I wanted, Phil, but one of the things that just drove me nuts, you know, because I asked, you know, is there a chance of getting you on one of the Sunday shows, anything like that, any hopes? So But the reason I asked that is because in the back of my mind, I had going for me, you remember the Bill Moyers documentary from last week, right?
Yes, I do.
When he asks Tim Russert, you know, well, why weren't you doing the grunt work? And he says, well, you know, I was sitting here and my phone never rang.
They're all shame on them all. The American people know that they're all full of bull, Dan Rather, Tim Russert, that they're all whores, man. And they're all bought by the same people.
But in this particular instance, Phil, we have a precise example. Mm-hmm. You know, Tim Russert's not going to come looking for you. No. You got to call Tim Russert. Okay?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, let's. I'm hoping somebody will jingle Tim Russert's phone and say, you know, I saw the documentary last week where you said you don't call anybody and you wait for somebody to call you. Well, by God, Tim, we're calling you. We're calling you from Buffalo, okay? You like to talk about Buffalo? We're calling from Buffalo, okay? And we'd like to have Congressman Kucinich on the program to talk about the single most important piece of legislation pending in the House today.
Yes. And that's what I mean. The same powers that controlled the Congress people, control the media, and if there's no one else pulling for their attention, that being we the people, their agenda keeps getting played out, which is, you know, this imperial, you know, what they're doing to these kids in the military, these poor kids, it's criminal, and we got to, you know, those of us who know it's BS and it, you know more and more that it's obscene, we got to start calling it for what it is. You know, this is obscene. You know, we've got to start using words that just tell it like it is. You know, and when we start getting this Clinton stuff, I don't want to hear that BS. I'm talking. That's what I did with this congressman.
Yeah.
He looked at me like I, you know, I was from another planet. I don't think they're used to having someone say, hey, I'm not talking about Clinton. I'm talking about you and right now. And, you know, and then he said, well, he looked at me and, you know, and his staff was all sitting around it with me. He's just a man. He's a man taking our damn paychecks, too. You know, I mean, you know, he's living on our money. He's our employee. And people are, I'm tired of people, American people, treating these politicians like they're with reverence. These people are criminals, and we should start calling them that and start treating them like criminals and demanding that they be treated like criminals. I hope I'm rambling on.
No, that's okay.
The attitude I think all of us have to start letting out, and not letting out on each other, but on the appropriate people. You know, and when they start with all this same old BS where they want to get you in an argument, don't even go there. Say, I don't want to hear your, this is BS. I don't want to hear about Clinton. I don't want to hear about this. This guy lied to start a war, and it's as simple as that.
Well, you know, a great starting place, Phil, and it just occurred to me.
Mm.
Congressman Kucinich organized a whole bunch of different Congress people to vote against the original Iraq War resolution.
Yes.
I know that it was at least in high double digits. I don't know. It may have been even higher. Find that list. Those people are naturals. Why haven't they signed on yet? You know, you get 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 signatures, people are going to look up and pay attention.
Then go to impeach07.org. And go to afterdowningstreet.org, where all these resources are already available. We don't have to recreate the wheel. We just have to turn each other on to these groups that you're, you know.
Yeah.
We could go to that website and find that list, is what I'm saying. And another thing is I'm a co-chair of the Central Florida chapter of Veterans for Peace, which has about 130 chapters throughout the country. And Veterans for Peace has a program called Operation Support and Defend, which highlights the Constitution and the oaths. And Veterans for Peace, on the second anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, March 1905, issued a letter to every member of Congress calling for the immediate removal from office. You know, this is over 2 years now of Cheney and Bush, and outlined the whole case for impeachment. And I'll tell you, from our chapter, you know, it's always just a couple of people. So if you want to get involved in your community, there's things in place, but you can't, you know, you expect, well, the Veterans for Peace, they'll take care of it. We're people. We're people just like we need help.
Yeah, stop waiting for somebody else to take care of it. I get, yeah.
You know, so if you go to veteransforpeace.org and then, you know, type in your zip code to find the chapter around you, and call them up and say, hey, we heard on the Head On Radio Network about this Operation Support and Defend to, you know, hold these elected officials to their oath and you know, demand impeachment. How can I help? And that's how you can help in your community. That's one way.
And it's, you know, once you get active, it gets a little bit addictive, doesn't it, Phil?
It does, you know, and it does, like Saturday was a gas, man. I mean, I've been active for a while, and like I say, I've been to huge demonstrations over the years, but the energy, please, folks, I know, listen to the horn, but when you do get a chance tonight, go over to afterdowningstreet.org and look at these different 828 videos from all over the country, and make sure you look at ours. I'm in one of them. I'm in the one that Sam Simpson did. We emailed it to you guys today, you and Agnes. It's a 10-minute video.
Oh, yeah, I watched that. Actually, I watched that the other night. Sam mailed me the link as well.
Yes, she tuned it up now, and it's on afterdowningstreet.org, and there's some really neat videos, and you plug into it, and then you get that energy, man, and you can take... We've got to tell these losers in Washington that we're angry. We don't want to hear all this BS. We don't want any more Sunday morning shows. We want these criminals in jail, and we want these troops put on airplanes and flown back to the United States. And there is no legitimate reason why that cannot be done.
And in truth, there's not. The money,
you know, the
money's already there. The money is there to end the war and bring the troops home, period.
The only reason is that the PNAC, you know, the plan was to they want a permanent president. There's so much money tied up in this occupation, and forget this Democrat-Republican stuff, people. They're all bought off, you know. And if we have a guy like Kucinich, get behind him. And then if we got a guy that wants to join up with Kucinich, push him to join. Say, hey, we're with you. We want you to join. But, you know, it ain't about Democrats, Republican people. It's beyond that. Our representative government has been stolen from us, and we've got to fight to get them back.
Well, you know what? You're a part of that fight, Phil.
Yes.
And I respect it and I admire it.
In the Head On Radio Network, I keep talking it up, people. Tell people about the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. You know, and when I do a post, like on afterdowningstreet.org, there'll be something and I'll say, write a comment. And then I'll say, hey, for the best in, you know, conversation,
yeah.
You know, Head On Radio Network, you know.
And that's all we're trying to do, is give people an opportunity to make their voices heard.
Yes.
It's up to them to take advantage of it. Phil, I got to roll. I'm up against
Bob,
the news.
Thanks for the time.
Oh, it's always a pleasure,
show.
Phil.
You too. Bye-bye.
You take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. The resource is here. We just have to use it. This is where we can coordinate. This is where we can build unity, we can build community, and we can build the requisite resolve to get out there and do what needs done, because there is, by God, a bunch that needs done. This is The Horn. This is America's liberal voice, your voice. And I'm Bob.
News Network. President Bush has vetoed the Iraq War funding bill sent to him by Congress. In a statement within the last hour, the president gave his reasons for the veto. Topping the list was the withdrawal timetable for U.S. troops. The president says setting a deadline is setting a date for failure and does not take into account the situation on the ground. President Bush said, quote, our troops deserve better. He's invited congressional leaders to meet tomorrow to discuss a compromise. Despite a certain veto, congressional Democrats sent President Bush that Iraq war funding bill today on the four-year anniversary of his speech declaring mission accomplished in Iraq. That speech was made from the deck of the USS aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln. There are conflicting reports about whether the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq has been killed. Some said he was killed by Sunni tribesmen. However, an al-Qaeda umbrella group stated on its website that he is still alive. The State Department list of countries that are sponsoring terror has Iran as the leader. There's a 25% increase in terrorist attacks last year. Much of that activity occurred in Iraq. The Iraqi government said today more than 1,500 civilians were killed throughout the country in April. That's nearly a 20% drop from March. April was one of the deadliest months so far for the U.S. forces. At least 104 American troops were killed during the month, making it the sixth deadliest since the war began 4 years ago. Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez has taken over the last of the privately run oil fields in his country. The last companies forced to give up control include BP, ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, and Chevron. Chavez is also nationalizing Venezuela's electricity and telecommunications companies. In Havana, thousands of workers celebrated May Day as they marched through Cuba's Revolution Plaza. However, ailing leader Fidel Castro was not seen in public. The 80-year-old underwent intestinal surgery and stepped down from power temporarily 9 months ago. In cities across the U.S. today, immigrants held rallies to demand a path to citizenship for the estimated 12 million illegal immigrants currently in America. And Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert is resisting the increased calls for his resignation a day after the release of a report which highly criticized him.
Hi, I am Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I am here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
Death rates and heart failure have fallen sharply over the last 6 years among hospitalized heart attack patients. The Associated Press reports the largest international study of its kind points to better treatment. The use of cholesterol-lowering drugs, blood thinners, and procedures to open clogged arteries have also increased over that time period. The American Lung Association's list of most polluted cities in the U.S. puts Los Angeles at the top. Pittsburgh was the second most polluted city, followed by Bakersfield, California. And the Interior Department has released a 5-year plan to open oil drilling off the Virginia coast and expand oil drilling in Alaska and the Gulf of Mexico. The proposal now awaits congressional and presidential approval. Circuit City is warning it expects a quarterly loss of up to $90 million. Despite its recent cost-cutting moves, the nation's second-largest electronics retailer says its sales have been disappointing, especially those of flat-panel televisions. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke warned against economic isolationism. He said it would be a serious mistake that could jeopardize the benefits of free trade. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.48 a barrel on the New York Mercantile. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow hit a new record. It's up 73. The NASDAQ up 6. And there's more news at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Six past the hour. Literature Corner. You know, we've the irony is not lost on me that Dear Leader declared this to be National Loyalty Day, a day when I mentioned this earlier. What's the thing say?
And Happy Beltane.
Okay, National Loyalty Day. America was founded by patriots who risked their lives to bring freedom to our nation. Today, our citizens, yada, 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 yada. We believe deeply in freedom and self-government, values embodied in our cherished documents and defended by our troops over the course of generations. So anyway, this is supposed to be the day when somehow or another we all display our loyalty to the United States of America. Cool, George. More than happy to oblige. We'll display our loyalty by demanding that our House of Representatives members sign off on Congressman Kucinich's bill to impeach your dirty criminal little vice president. You're next, George. But no, Literature Corner, because the Loyalty Day took me back to one of my favorite books. Joseph Heller's Catch-22. They're taking over everything, he declared rebelliously. Well, you fellas can stand around and let them if you want to, but I'm not going to. I'm going to do something about it. From now on, I'm going to make every son of a bitch who comes here to my intelligence tent sign a loyalty oath. And I'm not going to let that bastard Major sign one even if he wants to. Almost overnight, the glorious loyalty oath crusade was in full flower, and Captain Black was enraptured to discover himself spearheading it. He had really hit on something. All the enlisted men and officers on combat duty had to sign a loyalty oath to get their map cases from the intelligence tent, a second loyalty oath to receive their flak suits and parachutes from the parachute tent, a third loyalty oath for Lieutenant Balkington, the motor vehicle officer, to be allowed to ride from the squadron to the airfield in one of the trucks. Every time they turned around, there was another loyalty oath to be signed. They signed a loyalty oath to get their pay from the finance office, to obtain their PX supplies, to have their hair cut by the Italian barbers. To Captain Black, every officer who supported his glorious loyalty oath crusade was a competitor, and he planned and plotted 24 hours a day to keep one step ahead. He would stand second to none in his devotion to country when other officers had followed his urging and introduced loyalty oaths of their own. He went them one better by making every son of a bitch who came in his intelligence tent sign two loyalty oaths, then three, then four. Then he introduced the Pledge of Allegiance, and after that, the Star-Spangled Banner. One chorus, two choruses, three choruses, four choruses. Each time Captain Black forged ahead of his competitors, he swung upon them scornfully for their failure to follow his example. Each time they followed his example, he retreated with concern and racked his brain for some new stratagem that would enable him to turn upon them scornfully again. Without realizing how it had come about, the combat men in the squadron discovered themselves dominated by the administration appointed to serve them. They were bullied, insulted, harassed, and shoved about all day long, one after the other. When they voiced objection, Captain Black replied that people who were loyal would not mind signing all the loyalty oaths they had to. To anyone who questioned the effectiveness of the loyalty oaths, he replied that people who did really owe allegiance to their country would be proud to pledge it as often as he forced them to. And to anyone who questioned the morality, he replied that the Star-Spangled Banner was the greatest piece of music ever composed. The more loyalty oaths a person signed, the more loyal he was. To Captain Black, it was as simple as that, and he had Corporal Kolodny sign hundreds with his name each day so that he could always prove he was more loyal than anyone else. The important thing is to keep them pledging, he explained to his cohorts. It doesn't matter whether they mean it or not. That's why they make little kids pledge allegiance even before they know what to pledge and what pledge and allegiance mean. To Captain Pilchard and Captain Wren, the glorious loyalty oath crusade was a glorious pain in the ass since it complicated their task of organizing the crews for each combat mission. Men were tied up all over the squadron signing, pledging, and singing, and then the missions took hours longer to get underway. Effective emergency action became impossible, but Captain Pilchard and Captain Wren were both too timid to raise any outcry against Captain Black, who scrupulously enforced each day the doctrine of continual reaffirmation that he had originated, a doctrine designed to trap all those men who had become disloyal since the last time they had signed a loyalty oath the day before. It was Captain Black who came with advice to Captain Pilchard and Captain Wren as they pitched about in their bewildering predicament. He came with a delegation and advised them bluntly to make each man sign a loyalty oath before allowing him to fly on a combat mission. Of course, it's up to you, Captain Black pointed out. Nobody's trying to pressure you, but everyone else is making them sign loyalty oaths, and it's going to look mighty funny to the FBI if you two are the only ones who don't care enough about your country to make them sign loyalty oaths, too. If you want to get a bad reputation, that's nobody's business but your own. All we're trying to do is help. Milo was not convinced and absolutely refused to deprive Major Major of food, even if Major Major was a communist, which Milo secretly doubted. Milo was by nature opposed to any innovation that threatened to disrupt the normal course of affairs. Milo took a form of firm moral stand and absolutely refused to participate in the glorious loyalty oath crusade until Captain Black called upon him with his delegation and requested him to. National defense is everybody's job, Captain Black replied to Milo's objection, and this whole program is voluntary, Milo. Don't forget that. The men don't have to sign Pilchard and Wren's loyalty oath if they don't want to, but we need you to serve them to starve them to death if they don't. It's just like Catch-22. Don't you get it? You're not against Catch-22, are you? Doc Tanika was adamant. What makes you so sure Major's a communist? You never heard him denying it until we began accusing him, did you? And you don't see him signing any of our loyalty oaths. You aren't letting him sign any. Of course not. That would defeat the whole purpose of our crusade. Look, you don't have to play ball with us if you don't want to. But what's the point of the rest of us working so hard if you're going to give Major medical attention the minute Milo begins starving him to death? I just wonder what they're going to think up at group about the man who's undermining our whole security program. They'll probably transfer you... Yeah, to the Pacific. Doc Tanika surrendered swiftly. I'll go tell Gus and Wes to do whatever you want them to do. The Great Loyalty Oath Crusade. I used to read this book, Catch-22, Joseph Heller. I used to read it, at least once a year. And it was funny. Oh, it was funny. In a sort of twisted, dark humor kind of way. In a noir kind of way. But it's another one of those things, one of those precious things. Reminds me of John Prine's song, Souvenirs. Can't forgive them for how they robbed me of my souvenirs. It's one of those little souvenirs that the Bush administration's taken from me. Because Catch-22 isn't funny anymore. Because it's more than obvious that those unfunny, humorless, soulless, miserable human beings in the Bush administration, the Pearls, the Wolfowitzes, the Ailmans, and the Rices, and the Rumsfelds, it's more than obvious that somewhere along the way, most of them have probably read Catch-22, and they think it's a damn handbook. Dr. Strangelove. They see the George C. Scott character and think that he's a hero and not a fool. And it isn't funny anymore. But, you know, you want loyalty? You know what? That's the next question, isn't it? What are we called upon to be loyal to? Well, Bob, you're supposed to be loyal to your country. Ain't you a good American? I'm loyal to the Constitution. That's what I'm called upon to be loyal to. I don't have to be loyal to a president who has violated the Constitution. He has forfeited his right to any loyalty I might deliver. He is not our president. He is their president. Is, has been, and for as long as he remains in office, will be. But, you know, I'm crazy that way. I would rather be loyal to the principles that created this country, that underpin this country, that make this country a country worth living in, than to be loyal to some cult of personality. Cult of personality that is bolstered and held and propped up and held up by the likes of Hannity, Flemball, and O'Reilly. Screw them to the wall. And Dana Perino. Shame on you. Shame on you, Dana Perino.
That was a cheap political stunt.
How much are they paying you, Dana? What's it going to mean to you at the end of your hollow, vacuous life? 50, 60 years from now. When you're laying on a bed in a nursing home and you think back to yourself in the few lucid moments that you have.
I wasted my life telling lies for George Bush.
What's it gonna mean? I understand Phil's passion. Me, I do. I want to get the message out. And so I'm a little bit less inclined to like froth and foam. But no, make it clear. Make it clear that you expect impeachment because you expect them to follow their oaths. No loyalty oaths. No loyalty crusade. Just one oath. And an oath that they didn't swear to us, an oath that they swore to the Constitution, of which we, you, me, us, patriotic America, not blindly follow America, patriotic America, which we are entrusted in keeping and enforcing. Fair? Yeah, I think so. Got anything on your mind? Share it. 877-443-2366, toll free, or on your nickel, 304-658-5453. America's liberal voice is your voice, and America's liberal voice is the horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The following is a Head On Radio Network special announcement.
I'm back!
That's right, the rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Foxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to Win
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Human Rights Watch is a group typically focused on the bad behavior of foreign countries. But on Tuesday, the organization chose a new target, the world's largest retailer. Jesse Russell takes a look at the study.
Walmart can never seem to catch a break in the torrential downpour of bad news. A new report from the organization Human Rights Watch alleges that Walmart often skirts the law when faced with a union organizing drive. The report reads, while many American companies use weak U.S. laws to stop workers from organizing, the retail giant stands out for the sheer magnitude and aggressiveness of its anti-union apparatus. The report suggests that weak labor laws allows the company to force workers to attend anti-union meetings, spy on workers, and fire them for union support. The organization also noted that the company has a union hotline that managers can call in the case that they suspect an employee of being a union organizer, and all managers receive a manual which presents ways to remain free in the event a store is chosen for a union organizing campaign. Walmart has managed to keep unions out of all of its North American stores, with the exception of four in Canada.
The high military spending on the Iraq War is leading to fewer jobs and slower economic growth for the U.S. That's according to a report from the Center for Economic and Policy Research. Using a simulation model from the economic forecasting company Global Insight, the report shows the economic impact of higher military spending turns negative in the sixth year. After 10 years, it results in 446,000 fewer jobs, and inflation and interest rates are driven higher, which slows sales of big-ticket goods like cars. Manufacturing and construction lose the most jobs. Economist Dean Baker says while it's often believed that wars are good for the economy, in fact, higher military spending diverts resources from productive uses, and that, he says, slows economic growth and produces fewer jobs. When Verizon holds its shareholders meeting Thursday, the AFL-CIO will be supporting several shareholder proposals to rein in excessive CEO compensation. AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer Rich Trumka says working family shareholders deserve a strong company focused on long-term gains. The proposals include giving shareholders a vote on CEO compensation and the golden parachute severance packages often given to CEOs.
Here is today's economic report. 43% of private sector workers have no access to paid sick leave. That's according to a new snapshot from the Economic Policy Institute. EPI writes that workers making less than $7.38 per hour are five times less likely to have sick days than workers who earn on average more than $29.47 per hour. Only 16% of low-wage workers are granted sick days, while 79% of high-wage workers have sick days.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Okay, so no one's answering. Well, can't you just let it ring a little? Shadows of the night, let it ring forevermore.
Everybody do what? Jeez, Agnes.
I'm looking through the sky. The love you need ain't gonna see through.
Oh, she's batting her eyes at me.
I wonder why.
You know, I mentioned that today is our 14th wedding anniversary. What is the 14th anniversary? What's the official gift for the 14th wedding anniversary? I think it's asphalt roofing shingles.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. I like it, but how about a back rub?
tactile sensations, yes, for the 14th. Yeah, that's the 14th official 14th wedding anniversary gift. But it's not just our anniversary. No, a very, very happy birthday goes out. We've got birthday somewhere, don't we? To some of the dearest friends that we have on the web.
My favorite song.
Clyde, Wally, Dookie, Ed. The gang over there, at WD40.com, D-U-B-Y-A-D, the number 4, the number 0.com. Yeah, don't do the letter W, the letter D, and 40. It just takes you to the lubricant website, okay? No, this is WD40.com, and, yeah, it's their birthday. Happy, happy birthday to WD40.com. Okay, we're going to forego playing the Beatles doing birthday.
Yes.
Agnes is not that far into her game. If she's tired, I'm tired. But, you know, we've had a whale of a 14 years. I mean, this is straight out of Forrest Gump. But at least I ain't led no humdrum life. No, I don't mean the marriage is like Forrest Gump. I mean, you know, it's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what's in it till you stick your thumb in the bottom and find out. yeah, I shouldn't have done that one. No, I didn't.
That's wrong.
That didn't come out right. Life is like a box of chocolates. No, at least we ain't. No, we'll stick with at least we ain't led no humdrum life. How about that, honey?
That works well because you're just digging yourself deeper into that hole.
You're not helping. You're not helping again, dear. But I can't. I mean, it's been exciting from day one. We got married in the open air on a mountain, on a ridgetop in West Virginia. And Agnes and I, we didn't know it at the time. All my groomsmen were packing heat. And we, like I said, we didn't know it at the time, but we were watched during the entire ceremony from a ridgetop away through a scope attached to a .30-06 rifle. Ah, come on. You know, I mean, it's these things happen. These things happen. The best story of all was we were going through the vows, and she was just beautiful. Oh, she was so beautiful. She's beautiful today. She was beautiful that day. And we were going through the vows, and you know, do you take? And yes, and this, and so the vows are being administered to Agnes, and the guy gets to, and do you take this man? At which point Agnes screams, "Oh my God! Wait!" At which point I just look over at my dad and my groomsmen. Well, you know, only me. And then she begins to do the St. Vitus dance. And it turns out that while we thought maybe something was desperately, terribly wrong or she was having a seizure or something like that, no, she's actually allergic to bee sting, and a big old carpenter bee had gone down the back of her dress. And she stood there and did the I got a bee in my wedding dress hoochie-coo. And I got to tell you, that made me kind of think about maybe putting a bee in her dress again sometime just to see her dance like that. At least we ain't led no humdrum life. There's the size of it. Let's go to the phones. Our good buddy Rick Goodner calls in from Texas. Hey, Rick, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good. You?
You know, I'm doing great. I just haven't heard think about this dance since my first year of psych classes.
And I don't even know what it is, but it seemed like the right analogy.
There's this nice little village that all the women started dancing around, and no one could quite figure out what was going on. So, of course, you know, they were possessed by the devil.
Oh.
And it happened on St. Vitus Day. So, you know, it was the first recorded case of mass hysteria.
Well, you know, there was some pretty near to mass hysteria 14 years ago today, too. You know, it was something straight out of Blazing Saddles. I'm going to read to you today from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Duck. Yeah.
You know, that's okay as long as it wasn't the campfire and bean part.
No, that was later. That was the reception.
Oh, God.
I catered our reception. We catered. Got a brand new smoker the day before, and I think we smoked like 15 chickens and 6 pork shoulders, and I mean, we had a time.
Yeah, y'all do pork barbecue there. It's all beef here. We just do not do pork
I know, and we pray for you daily.
Yeah, well, I've tried it before, and I'm sorry, it's just going to have to be beef here.
No, there's nothing like a beautiful hickory smoked beef brisket.
No, I think that's a great segue, though. I mean, to think about his stance and everything that's going on. I mean, we've got a mass non-hysteria going on in Congress. We have real cases of We have real cases of chances to impeach these idiots who have broken the law, broken the Constitution. They've done everything wrong, and everybody is—they're going out of their way not to do anything. They're going out of their way. They seem to have this ideal that everybody in America wants to be in the middle. It's garbage. There is right, there is left, and there's a very small middle. And you have all these people trying to shoot right down the middle. Every one of our congressmen.
You know, there's a reason they don't let you drive in the middle of the road, Rick.
Right? Yeah, that's a very good reason. Except it is legal here in Texas on Friday night.
But only if you've got the gun rack and the open Lone Star.
Custom? I imagine you probably saw, knowing you, I'm pretty sure you did, Family Guy the other day, when you buy a bottle of Wild Turkey, you do get a free pistol here.
Free Uzi with the half-gallon purchase.
Well, of course. You know, who in the heck is going to waste their time on Wild Turkey 101 if it's just a filth? That's not going to do you any good.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you want something to get a buzz out of.
Oh, you're a hardcore, you know that?
I know, I'm horrible for someone who doesn't even drink, well, except for a beer. Absolutely nothing. I am just so disgusted. I was thinking back to the 60s how, you know, one word would, and we didn't have the media like we do now. We didn't have internet. We had word of mouth, and that was it. We could bring the entire colleges into the streets. We could bring my high school. We marched out on that. I almost got kicked out of school for leading it. We marched out as a protest against the war. We could do this, and it was real simple. Now everybody's, they're too, I don't know what it is, complacent? We can't get anybody out in the street.
Well, you know, you're the mental health professional. What's the diagnosis? Lethargy terminal? Is this the fault of the Xboxes and the PlayStations on the generation that's, you know, come of age now? I don't know. Look, I mean, it used to. Well, I don't want to overblow or put the wrong spin or the wrong impression in anybody's mind. But getting out for those protests was serious business, but it was daggum fun too, wasn't it?
Oh, you better believe it was fun. Even that Christmas Eve night when I was on MSU campus and everybody was freezing their fannies off, you know, and just ready to end the war. You know what the neatest thing about that was? The announcer just had the most wonderful idea. Hey, when cows are cold, they kind of cuddle up against each other. It was a great night. And it was 20 degrees.
Darn
and 20
straight,
degrees in Texas is really something.
Yeah, well, it's probably colder there than what 20 degrees is up here.
Well, we're not that used to it.
Right, you're not acclimated.
Yeah, I mean, we can do 10 above 100, you know, 10, 110. Yeah. But anything above that kind of gets me a little bit. But 20 degrees is just a little too cold. But no, we could do that. And it reminds me of the April before. The April before that, they had a We Support the Troops march, and a rain cloud came by and sprinkled for about 10 minutes, and they called off the whole parade. And we were there all night in the sleet and snow and huddling. It was fun.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know if. I don't know if, you know, the youngsters these days, you know, somebody get me my cane. I don't know if they're just not interested or if they're, you know, the David Horowitzes of the world. Our children's minds are being poisoned in the liberal halls of academia. Well, you know what? If there was that much influence going on, there'd be people in the streets right now because maybe that's the real key behind not demand. Not even talking about a draft to support this heinous war, is that, you know, if they did start talking draft, the kids might boil out of the colleges and into the streets.
They would immediately. if there was a draft, that would happen immediately. That's self-interest.
But you know, you've referenced your beloved Texas a couple of times here. I want to share something with you, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today we had a lot of talk about out of the Republicans about what a bunch of cheese-eating surrender monkeys the Democrats are. And, you know, we've had statements like, I believe that artificial timetables of withdrawal would be a mistake. I would strongly reject an artificial timetable withdrawal and or Washington politicians trying to tell those who wear the uniform how to do their job. And stuff like the attempt to micromanage our commanders is an unwise and perilous endeavor. It's impossible to argue that an unconditional timetable for retreat could serve the security interests of the United States or our friends in the region. I mean, this could... it is defeat. It is a death sentence for the millions of Iraqis who voted for a constitution. You know, that from Dana Perineal. However, and here's our Texas connection, Dr. Goodner, set the Wayback Machine for 1999, April 1999, and a little something in a rag down there by the name of the Houston Chronicle. Quote,
oh, okay.
Quote, victory means exit strategy. It's important for the president to explain to us what the exit strategy is.
Somalia.
No, Kosovo.
Kosovo. Had to be one of the two, I wasn't for sure.
And then there's, with regard to timetables themselves, June 5th, 1999, I think it's also important for the president to lay out a timetable as to how long they will be involved and when they will be withdrawn. I mean, does this guy think that nobody knows what he said in the past?
But, you know, it doesn't matter because no one is repeating it.
Nobody's calling him on it.
Nobody is calling any of these idiots on this stuff. No one no one seems to be able to put out the effort anymore to look at the facts. Tenet stuff just made me want to, well, how about throw up? How's that?
Yeah, okay. And you know, I don't like running around going, oh, see, look at me. I can see the future. But I did it. I mentioned this last night. I think it was talking with our good buddy Albert up in Wisconsin. I said, because he said that George Tenet struck him as a great big fraud, phony, fake, ginned up, dummied up, you know, just dog and pony show. And I said, mark my words. The proof of that will lie in the fact, and he mentioned it'll, you know, it'll be sold, you know, by right-wing websites. And I said, I will see that in the next couple of days for sale on some right-wing news site. And lo and behold, today I get the bulletin from Newsmuck saying, get George Tenet's book here.
Yep. It's amazing. And the trashing I've heard so far is he wasn't the CIA director under Bush. He was a Clinton holdover.
Yeah.
Although he did everything in the world he could to stab Clinton in the back, they're blaming it on Clinton now that this guy was there, and now he's trashing Bush like it was Clinton.
Yeah, he's Bill Clinton's CIA director.
Yeah.
And so
improvised.
That's all Clinton's fault.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that, right? I mean, that we know that going in.
Absolutely.
You know, the plumbing stopped up. Clinton's fault.
God. I don't know what to do with these people anymore. I guess, you know, as far as getting people on the street, my biggest thing is when I see patients coming in of that age, they keep saying the same thing to me. They're bored. My God, I was never bored because I never wanted to be boring. And that's exactly what you end up at. The second you get bored, you're going to bore everybody to death. I can't believe they can't get out there and start marching. I can't believe no one's doing what needs to be done anymore. Maybe it's Dresden. Remember Dresden during World War II?
Sure.
It was left alone.
So yeah.
Everybody in Germany, of course, moved to Dresden.
And it had no military targets. And
yeah. And no one touched it. And then bang, all of a sudden, completely wiped out. Worst forest storm ever. Maybe that's it.
Solely as retaliation.
Yeah, it was just wrong. Absolutely wrong. Maybe though, that's what we're doing. Maybe we're leaving this open so that the Republicans can still rally around Bush and then we're going to strike them down. I doubt it.
I think you're engaging in some magical thinking there, Rick.
You know it. I don't think they have the backbone. I'm sorry. There's a number of Democrats in there who need to be replaced.
Well, Well, I'm checking here. I'm trying to see if we got a Texan. Yeah, by golly. Yeah, I knew there was. We got a Texan on the House Judiciary Committee, Rick.
Got one.
Texas 18th District, one Honorable Sheila Jackson Lee.
Hmm? And she is a kick-ass person.
Yeah, she is. And has she signed on? If she hasn't, why not?
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go and call her tomorrow, and I'm going to tell her that I'll lie to her. I'll say that I'm a correspondent for Head On Radio, and we need this information. Maybe I can get something out of her. I'll lie to her.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
I'm a Texan.
Yeah, you're not lying. You're just you're embellishing on the truth.
There you go. There you go.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
But
wait. Let's okay. Let's see. Let me get my correspondent dubbing sword out here. The Rick Goodner, I hereby dub the correspondent for the Head On Radio Network. Now there's no lying involved.
Okay.
My daddy plays dominoes better than your daddy plays dominoes. Holly Smoot, you're a journalist.
Wow. Dominey, I love this. Hey, we should have done that on Wednesday.
Race ipsa loquitur, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give her a call tomorrow, and I'm going to have my MP3 player going.
Okay.
I'll let her know beforehand. We'll see what she says. See if she dances. See what it takes. And I will do what I can, unless something really weird happens, and you know that could happen.
You work in the world of the weird, dude.
I don't know. We're beginning to look pretty sane to me now.
Okay, then it's definitely time for an extended lunch break for you, Rick Goodner.
Well, I know what I'm talking about compared to what I'm seeing out here. It's just, oh, good God, I cannot. No, outside of Overman, you can't get any mainstream, what they call drive-by media, mainstream media to even cover some of these lies anymore. And when they do, they cover it up.
Oh, I know. I'm looking, they're not that busy. Tim Russert's should have time for Dennis Kucinich. So should Bob Schieffer. So should George Snuffleupagus. All of them, should have time to discuss a momentous introduction of legislation such as this.
If they had discussed it, then people might go, oh, hey, this kind of makes sense. And then they'd be in trouble, wouldn't they?
And where's the, again, I know Congressman Kucinich specifically stated, and I'm not surprised, and I wouldn't think otherwise, that this was not based on any kind of polling data. But where in the hell is the polling data? Why can't the question be asked? Would you support the impeachment of Dick Cheney if it could be proven that he dummied up this war?
I haven't even thought of that. That is so true. I haven't seen anything of that sort.
I mean, we can get polling data on how the American people feel about striped shoelaces.
You can.
And, but, the Harris people will do that for free.
I don't think the mentality of people in America stretches that far anymore. They don't seem to have the interest. Now, if they were polling, if it had anything to do with Paris Hilton, they're going to listen.
Okay, yeah. Then how about, okay, if Paris Hilton suggested we impeach Dick Cheney, how would you feel about it? I mean, I'll work within the parameters of established journalism.
That would do it. That would do it. If that question was asked, that would be on all the news, especially if she gave an answer. You would have the right and the left going at it. That would really do it. That's what it would take. By the way, did Willie Nelson ever contact you?
No, never heard back.
Okay, I'll get back with him. Sorry.
I know how tied up they are, so... Yeah.
Well, if... It's handcuffs, not tied. Sorry.
That's okay, yeah. We'll be here all the week. Try the veal.
I couldn't help it. But that he is out on... they did kind of let him go on it. They're not going to do anything bad to him.
Oh, good.
It's still safe. Okay, I'm going to give her a call tomorrow, and I'll see what I can do, and I'll see if I can get the MP3. She'll allow me to do the MP3, and I'll get you some.
Or for that matter, just if you get to her, just tell her to give us a call. Tell Progressive America why you won't support the Constitution. Of course, that might be a little harsh.
Well, I've already tried a couple of other people. Meatloaf, you've heard of him, I assume.
Yeah.
Tried to get in contact with him on that, and I haven't heard anything back to get him to talk to you. He's pretty much in the fold.
Our kind of people.
Uh-huh. And Stephen King, I haven't got
you know, little by little, step by step. You know, one of the things I think it's going to be really exciting tomorrow night to and you know, knowing what you're into and what you do for a living, this is a great segue into plugging tomorrow night's show. Anyway, as I've mentioned, the ex-wife of Warren Zevon, an author of I'll Sleep When I'm Dead, The Life and the Dirty Life and Times of Warren Zevon, will be on the show tomorrow night. Crystal Zevon, you got to read this book, Rick.
I've got to. I haven't yet.
Among other things, and I thought about you as I read this. You know, he had a terrible battle with alcohol, primarily, some pills, but mostly booze, and started working the steps.
Okay.
And at one point, caught his sponsor, found out his sponsor was running heroin up his arm.
Yeah.
Walked out of AA and never set foot in it again, and kept his sobriety up until he found out that there was really no point in staying sober anymore.
Well, according to AA's own figures, they got a 5% chance of stopping you from drinking or doing drugs. You have actually a better chance, 15% chance, of stopping drugs or drinking if you don't go to AA. So you actually lose 10% off the point. I mean, the percentage of you're actually getting what they call clean and sober if you don't do the program.
You know, that's kind of like that statistic that says 48% of car accidents in the United States are caused by drunk drivers. Nobody ever points out that that therefore means that 52% are caused by sober people.
I never thought of it that way. I love the way your mind works. But I've never heard those figures.
It's a dark and spidery place in my mind, Rick. I swear, I promise you.
It's okay. You know, every world needs a black hole. It's fine. You're in good shape, sir. You really are. I'll give them a call, and I'll look up the book, too, and I'll make sure that if I'm free at all tomorrow night, I'll listen in and see what she has to say. But no, it's... You know my position on the 12 steps. You know, I'm sure we've talked about it. And
well, I'm getting a query in here. Where you get your statistics on success and failure?
It was stolen from AA itself. If you'll do a Google on AA success rates, I can't remember the other part of it, but the statistics were stolen from AA, and it was from their own sponsored
study.
Yeah. Study.
Okay. Rick Goodner, thank you very kindly.
Need more than that, I'll email it to you tomorrow. Just let me know.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, shoot it to me, and I'll pass it along. Okay, can do.
Gotcha.
All right, later, Rick.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And he beat us to the hang-up again. You're a little Osley this evening there, darling.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. All right, Marilyn. Now, okay, one last indignity before the, or a pair of indignities, because they are indicative of the same problem. Yeah, I guess we could go out, you know, singing the theme from Barney, as Joe Vecchio has referenced recently, threatening to take a Barney CD to work with him. Yeah, I know. There won't even be a greasy spot to clean up if I do that, Agnes. Yeah. No, happy time's over. This is from a little over a week ago. About 10 days ago. Lovely little hamlet called Smyrna, Tennessee. Young student, 8 years old. Headline, saying boy spat on him, cop arrests 8-year-old. I stopped him and then tried to speak with him. He tried to pull away from me, the officer wrote. I told him, son, let me explain something to you. He said, let me go, you ain't my parents, and spit in my face. My eyes were open, and his fluid went into my eyes. His fluid? His fluid? I immediately picked him up and took him to juvenile detention. Yeah, there's a smart one, officer friendly. Take him to the really bad kids. But, you know, we've seen kids tasered in Bushmerica. We've seen them we've seen them put to the ground and had handcuffs put on them and knees put in their backs. That's just another day in Bushmerica. But there is a little follow-up, and we mentioned this on the program a week or so ago. The story of the 92-year-old grandmother who was a victim of the war on drugs. Somehow, I don't think that the NRA hasn't picked up on this story yet, because she was an armed citizen. Poor thing. The cops were all in a frenzy down in Atlanta to go and arrest some evil drug doers, dealers, whatever. And the cops screwed up, and because people like John Roberts and Sam Alito were allowed onto the court, you now don't even have to show the courtesy of knocking to keep from, like, you know, bashing the brains in of a baby playing by the door. No. The cops can just roar right through, and the devil take the hindmost, literally. And that's what they did. They bashed down Granny's door in Atlanta. 92 years old. She had a firearm with them, and she started shooting. Of course, they got their body armored up. No harm, no foul. But they blew her brains out. I mean, they splattered her all over her apartment. Well, there's been some resolution on that. There were two guilty pleas this past Thursday. The two cops involved were allowed to plead to simple manslaughter in gunning down this 92-year-old lady. Officer J.R. Smith told a state judge that he regretted what had happened. 35-year-old Smith said, "I'm sorry." His voice barely audible. Didn't have the guts to say it in a loud voice. "I'm sorry." He didn't just plead guilty to manslaughter, though. He pled guilty to violation of oath, criminal solicitation, making false statements, and perjury. All of which were based on the bogus claims in the warrant. They face more than 10 years in prison. They have not been sentenced. My money says they don't get more than a one-year sentence if they get that. But once they blew Granny away, once they wasted Granny and realized how profoundly they'd screwed up, rather than facing the consequences, their first inclination was to lie, so they planted a bag of dope on Granny. They fessed up to that, too. They pled guilty to a single charge of conspiracy to violate a person's civil rights, resulting in death. The state and federal charges will run concurrently and not consecutively as they should. They fired 39 shots. They fired 39 rounds at Granny. They hit her 5 times. Five or six times, including the fatal shot to the chest. Johnston fired only once through the door because she didn't know what was happening, but somebody was invading her home. She fired once. They fired 39 times. They were charged with felony murder, a charge that can carry the death penalty in Georgia. They pled to simple manslaughter. Tesler, age 40, is quote-unquote very relieved not to face murder charges. Arthur Tesler, according to William McKinney, but we're concerned about the three charges of making false statements, violation of oath by a public officer, and false imprisonment under color of legal process. Neither one of the two men who convicted, who pled to killing this lady, neither one of them will face more than 12 years in prison. I submit to you it's a miscarriage of justice. Assistant U.S. Attorney Yanetta Sam Buchanan said Thursday this past that although the officers found no drugs in Johnston's home, Smith planted three bags of marijuana in the home as part of a cover story. Is there anything left to debate in this country about the so-called war on drugs? To get the warrant, officers told a magistrate judge that an undercover informant had told them Johnston's home had surveillance cameras monitored carefully. Thank you, Judge Alito. And thank you to the Democrats who voted to confirm Judge Alito instead of filibustering his nomination like we begged you to. The family of that 92-year-old grandmother thanks you. Thanks you for keeping your powder dry. Remember, that was the phrase that the spineless members of the Senate who call themselves Democrats used when refusing to filibuster Samuel Alito. They said they were keeping their powder dry. Well, three dirty cops in Atlanta kept their powder dry, and it cost a 92-year-old grandmother her life. But we're, by God, fighting that war on drugs, ain't we? Because three bags of marijuana, even if she had really possessed them, are a hell of a lot more important than a 92-year-old woman's life. Welcome to Bushmerica. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this evening. Thank you especially to Congressman Dennis Kucinich for taking time out of his very busy schedule to talk to us all and hopefully inspire us to demand impeachment. Thank you, Agnes, my darling wife, 14 years. This wouldn't be worth doing without you. Thanks to John Fox, our engineer. Thanks to Brian Reznor, our announcer. Many, many thanks to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, the hardest working man in liberal talk, who still needs to finish raising money, and if you haven't helped, you should. Thanks to our IT professional, Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida. The only man on planet Earth who can make these confounded computers behave when they're told to. Thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters who get up every day and build the American dream and are helping us to save the American dream. Liza, I'm not telling you again. It's bedtime, darling. And always, always, RMR. It's all for you. The Head On Radio Network.
U.S. April death toll in Iraq passes 100. People object to Giuliani's backers list. Terror attacks up sharply. War bill delays minimum wage hike. Rice says Bush would oppose Iraq benchmarks. Gore calls Canada climate plan a fraud. Hillary says Congress has no appetite for Bush impeachment. Kucinich says impeachment may well be the only remedy which remains to stop a war of aggression against Iran. George Tenet on 60 Minutes calls outing of plane big-time wrong. Tenet says Cheney had eye on Iraq long before 9/11. Tenet memoir draws heat from key players. JFK murder plot deathbed confession aired on national radio. Video shows Cheney continues claims of Saddam and Al-Qaeda connection. New toys read brainwaves. Little-known drug offers legal high. Congress's vote on Iraq war is only a prelude. U.S. and China aim to weaken the climate report. Prostitution scandal has Washington in new shock and awe. Hell, I go off the air for 1 week, and Washington still is corrupt. Nothing's changed. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. It's time to enter the Wolf's Den.